way, folks. You're now entering the corking room. This is where the final step in the bottling process happens, where we prepare all the corks for all the bottles of Brunello that you saw earlier.
This is PFW in progress.
I've always actually wondered about that. How do you cork the bottles?
Excellent question, my Bella. As you can see, we are soaking all the corks in this room right now.
PFW in progress.
These three guys right here are some of the most talented cork soakers. Say hello, you old cork soakers.
With Fred Kirsch.
Now, I'm curious, how does one become a cork soaker?
As we are like to say, cork soakers are born, not made.
Paul Perillo.
Luigi here was simply born to soak cork.
I love soaking a cork. I could soak a cork all night long if they let me.
And Andy. And Andy?
So, are all corks the same?
No, no. I like to soak the big, thick cork.
Andy Hart.
The great thing about the cork soaking is that while you are soaking the cork, you can also massage at the grapes.
The Sheriff, Tom Casale.
Could you teach me how to soak cork?
You know, when are you walking in here, I could have sworn you're already an expert cork soaker.
And you never know who else might stop by.
Thank you. I dabbled in college.
PFW in progress.
Do you ever run out of corks to soak?
This one vintage was unusually large, and I thought Giuseppe would need the extra corks.
And I thought Marcello would need more corks.
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
So we soaked each other's corks at the same time.
Okay, Tom Casale here, PFW in progress, joined by Paul Perillo and Andy Hart. Lots to talk about today. Big night last night. Big night in the Casale household. The Yankees go down. The Cowboys come back and win. Just an amazing, amazing night. We'll be here for 2 hours. Web radio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482. And I am not in the right inbox for the emails.
Go on web radio, Tom.
Okay.
That should do it. But I got to tell you, your Cowboys last night beat the only team in the NFL that was capable of losing that game.
Yeah, that was an amazing ending. The Dallas played absolutely terrible. They came in and did what everybody said, that they wouldn't be ready for the Bills. They
weren't.
They played terrible. That Wade Phillips.
But just goes
after
to show
that
you, that's why I felt like no matter how bad Dallas played, it wouldn't be a trap because they would still win because that's how bad I think Buffalo is. You can't do anything more to lose a game than Dallas did last night. It's impossible.
No, and anytime you turn the ball over six times, you're not supposed to win that game. But they squeaked it out. They remain undefeated and setting up that was the big thing for me. I just wanted them to win so we could have fun this week. You know, even if they get killed by the Patriots, at least we'll have a good week. Two undefeated teams, a big game in the NFL coming up. So we'll see. You know, the Patriots are on top of the mountain. The Cowboys think they're there. We'll have to see. I know New England has the coaching advantage, that's for sure. The Patriots, a little, you know, played well, a little sloppier this week. Got to give my hats off to Cleveland. I thought they played pretty good. You know, the defense played well. They fought. It's, you know, that looks to me, Paul, like a team that it's got some pieces. They just, in my opinion, they got to make the switch to see if Quinn's the guy. Because I think if they can get a quarterback, they might be all right.
Yeah, now, I look at it a couple of different ways. Number one, I agree with everything you just said. I came away very impressed with Cleveland. I thought they had a plan. I thought their coaching, there was not an enormous edge in coaching that we've seen in the first 4 weeks. I thought Romeo Crennel matched wits with Bill Belichick, and Belichick won simply because he had the better players. Not that I thought Belichick coached a bad game. I thought, you know, that there was nothing wrong with the game plan. I just thought that Crennel actually game planned against the Patriots, which is a novelty so far in the 2007 season. What I'm not sure, and we talked about this a little bit at the game, the three of us, if Brady Quinn is the guy, okay, and I'm not saying that, you know, they haven't decided on that yet. I'm saying whether or not, you know, 3 years down the road, we're looking at this and saying Brady Quinn can play. He's a good quarterback. I think that potentially could be a very good football team. I think they have some young players. Andy talked about them a lot last week, and I think Andy was right. A lot of the guys that Andy mentioned in his preview showed up on the field. Braylon Edwards, I thought, was one of the more impressive receivers we've seen.
He played well.
I thought he was a dynamic guy. And I got to tell you, despite all the mistakes, I don't think Derek Anderson was that bad. I think he looks like a good, solid backup in this league.
Yeah, I agree.
Because a lot of backups, I don't think, can throw the ball that well, and I think he can throw it well. I think he just makes some mistakes. And as a backup, you know, that's what that's why he's a backup, if he's prone to the mistakes. I was impressed with Cleveland, and at the same time, you can say all these accolades you can give to the Browns. The Patriots still found a way to win the game by 17 points, which is a testament to just how good they really are.
And proves how hard gambling is. Because if you had the Browns in the 16.5, you might not be alive right now. the fumble, Randall Gay not only picks it up, but returns it for a touchdown. Tough non-cover for the Browns backers. But, yeah, I mean, we said it at halftime, Paul. It was 20-0, and we said this is probably the most even 20-0 game in the history of the NFL.
I thought it was not only that. I thought it was the most evenly played half the Patriots have been involved in so far this year.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I mean, they have a 17-7 lead over Buffalo, but I thought that game was more one-sided than this 20-0 game was.
And a team that doesn't have, you know, we probably doesn't have the talent of a Cincinnati or a San Diego.
Oh, God, no.
You know, and just goes to show what coaching can do if you get it on the right page. And it'll be interesting to see that team moving forward. But the Patriots, they come out ahead. They're 5-0. They're rolling. Closest game, 17 points. What do you think? What do you think this week?
And the Cowboys are not rolling.
Well, they had a tough game. You know what I compare this game to, Andy, this game coming up? George Foreman versus Muhammad Ali. See, Ali, he was in some battles. He was in some fights. He knew how to win those close fights. Foreman, he just knocked everybody out, baby. But when he had to come up against Ali and it was close, he didn't have the manhood to stand up with him. Let's see if the Patriots have the manhood if it's a close game.
I just think the Patriots are going to win.
So do I.
Is this what you're hanging your hopes on?
No, I thought of that analogy last night. I was pretty proud of myself. No, I was extremely depressed last night because I wanted both teams to be undefeated for the hype and everything going to Dallas, and I'm glad they are. Secondary-wise, I just think the Patriots are going to spread them out. I think they're going to abuse Roy Williams, Jacques Reeves, and I just think they're going to do whatever they want offensively. And obviously, if the Dallas offense doesn't play any better than they did last night, we'll be writing our stories at the end of the first quarter.
I will say I thought the front seven for Dallas was just swarming. For what I watched, like a half of the game, every time there was a ball carrier, there were 3, 4, 5 Cowboys hitting them up front. And that front seven has some speed and has some desire to get to the football.
You know who's really good is Brady James, the inside linebacker. He is all over the place. And the front seven didn't play well against the Giants, but since that game, they've played well. It's that they got to mask the weaknesses in the back four, because if Brady can get to them, it's advantage Patriots. If the Cowboys can get pressure on Brady, they can stay in the game. But that's going to be the key. I mean, I like how they're moving Ware all over the place and everything. It's just that's going to be the key up front in that game.
Yeah, I think a lot of it will have to do with turnovers too, because if like you said, Tom, if the Cowboys can get there and get some pressure, they're likely to cause some mistakes. And if they can get some turnovers, I don't see Dallas causing a whole lot of punts in this game.
No.
Certainly it was atypical of the Patriots offense to go out and convert just 2 of 12 on third down against Cleveland. I think we saw Chris Hansen 6 times in that game, more than he had been worked for the entire first 4 games combined. So I think the Cowboys would have to cause some turnovers to slow down the Patriots.
Yes, and something that we have an email in that we should probably get to. Josh from Arlington said, I want to agree with Tom that last night was an amazing, amazing night. I would also like to hardly disagree with Tom, however, on the T.O. Randy Moss debate. T.O. drops too many balls. Great athlete or not, it's like he just doesn't care at critical points in the game. It looks like he'd rather drop it on a short pass than take a hit for a short gain. I'd rather have Moss if we were strictly talking about talent. Yeah, I'm off T.O. Last night did it for me. I'm sorry. If you can't make catches at that time in the game, to me that's – I know he has drops in the past, but a lot of them were in the second quarter, and that doesn't excuse him, but I always thought when the game was on the line, he made plays. But last night, first of all, he has to make that catch in the end zone. If you're T.O., you have to make that catch in the end zone. You guys played a terrible game. You had a chance to tie, and he doesn't make it. Moss makes that catch.
Betray me, release me.
So you're off 100%.
Yeah, if you're going to drop
9 for 210 against the Patriots this week, you're staying off.
No, he could still have a big game because he's a
No, but I'm saying you're staying off. If he has 9 for over 200 yards.
No, I'm off that he's better than Moss because Moss's hands are just they're so much more better that you can't even. I mean, I'm going to argue this on the TV show tonight for those who are watching.
Disregard this show.
We have to do that. And I still think T.O.'s a great player, and I like his size and everything. But if you can't hang on to the football, the one with 20 seconds left. That's his pass. I mean, that's it. He's going across the middle. You make the catch. You set him up in field goal range. I was extremely disappointed in his effort last
week. 2 weeks in a row, Tom Casale just having to change sides on his whole thought process.
I'll admit when I'm wrong.
He's on board.
And it's
Moss has better hands. He's on board.
Even when he catches it, he doesn't. I mean, he catches it 6 times before he grabs it. You can't drop that many passes. I'm sorry. That's just inexcusable. But, Josh, I'm off T.O. I'm on a Jason Witten, best tight end in the NFL.
That's going to hang your hat on something. Yeah. Huh? By the way, Ken Hamlin, I know how he recovered from a broken skull. He used HGH. The guy's huge.
Oh, yeah, he's big.
Saw him flexing after one play. He had just veins popping out. Ridiculous. I used to like him, too. Has he not played well?
No, he's been fine. But he's another one of those guys who he's better in that capacity near the line. The Patriots spread him out and make him and Williams cover. That's advantage Patriots.
And they will.
They don't have a coverage safety. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then you take Anthony Henry out of the mix, and it's going to be tough for him if the Patriots, as Felger would say, spread him out.
So Brady will keep his 3-touchdown passes streak going?
Oh, yeah. The only way the Cowboys are going to win this game, like Paul said, is to get pressure, get some turnovers, but they're going to have to score. I mean, this is
that goes in addition to the turnovers. They're going to have a good game offensively. They can't do what they did last night.
The Cowboys beat the Colts last year, but the Colts went up and down the field on them.
Right.
The Colts just kept turning the ball over. Now, if that happens, yeah, maybe they don't have to score 30 points if they can keep getting turnovers inside the red zone. But do you really want to hang your hat on that?
What's the over?
I didn't look at it. I know spread is 5.
In the papers this morning, it's off because of the Monday night game, and they don't update it.
Actually just looked it up before we came down here, and I didn't look at the total. But I imagine it would be 52, 53, and the Patriots
like
are 5
that?
On the road. Oh, I'd take the
I'll
over.
Take the,
no
like the over?
I'd take the over.
Low-scoring series, though, for the gamblers who go by the angles. A very low-scoring series.
So the last two games, the last three games, it was 12-0, 13-6, and 12-6.
Yes, and the Cowboys have not scored a touchdown against the Patriots since 1987 when Herschel Walker broke that run in overtime. So that's a long, long
time. Tom Casale was jumping up and down.
Yep, that was a good game. Tom Ramsey started at quarterback for the Patriots. Remember
that's why
those
it was
baseball?
A good game for the Cowboys.
I don't know, somehow they got an overtime.
What else is going on? Anything big?
I saw a little link. Vinny Testaverde has been talking to other teams, including the Panthers and the Cardinals.
Cardinals, I saw.
Yeah, I didn't see anything
That's
else.
Interesting.
Well, you know.
Because let's be honest, on either of those teams, he doesn't end up with the carrot that is here, which is a rink.
Well, yeah, no, that's true, but he does get the opportunity to perhaps play that he doesn't get here.
I'm not sure that's an opportunity he's looking for.
Better.
What's the old saying? Better they think you're an idiot than to open your mouth and prove you're an idiot.
Mike in Erie.
Well, you subscribe to that theory.
Mike in Erie, Pennsylvania, wants to know: do you think the Patriots will react to this potential move by the Cardinals, or because of all the quarterback situations in the NFL? I'd hate to see anything happen to Brady, but seeing how many quarterbacks are going down, do you see the Patriots adding some insurance, meaning the Testaverde?
Well, they already have 3.
Yeah, they'd have to let one of the quarterbacks go, presumably.
And no, I don't think they're going to sign Testaverde just so that he can't sign. I mean,
no.
They went with their 3. They got him.
Yeah, I think we can talk about it for another 20 minutes, but I don't think it's really needs to be delved into any deeper than that. I think Andy hit it.
Plus,
perfect.
They got the 4th on the practice squad already. Paul's guy.
Yeah, David Green.
So, no, I certainly don't think anything any of these other teams do with Vinny Testaverde will have any bearing on his future here in New England or what the Patriots do with the quarterback position.
All right. Andy, any changing at all on the Colts? I mean, they played well this week. They showed they had some depth. Tampa Bay, pretty good NFC team, nothing special, but they really laid the whooping on them. Mm-hmm. Have you changed your thoughts
not
on the
really,
Colts at all?
Because I want to see them tested by good offenses, and I don't think that's it. very good offense.
Yeah, and not only, and I agree that with Andy about Tampa Bay, you know, not necessarily sold on
them. They lost
another
back, too, right?
But
yeah, Pittman.
That's too bad.
But the thing that I thought, I mean, it wasn't that the Colts just got by without all of those players. They were dominant without them. I mean, it was right. I think Tampa Bay had something like 100 yards of total offense until they scored a meaningless touchdown to make it 33-14 at the end of the game. Colts have some issues, certainly, but I think that right now they're clearly number two in terms of the rest of the league behind the Patriots. And I don't think it's anywhere near the gap between one and two that Andy does. I think that the Colts are a good team, and I think that they, when healthy, can certainly line up with the Patriots. Now, whether or not they're healthy when it counts at the end of the year is, impossible to predict.
It's a long way to go.
Sure is.
It's a long season ahead
of us. Even though you and I have already dismissed the regular season and put the Patriots at 16-0.
A lot could happen
for practical purposes, you really can't do that.
I've been down this road before, both directions.
Dante Stallworth with a big game, Ben Watson with a big game, not so big for Moss.
Welker.
Or didn't complain, but was laughing on the sidelines.
Kind of what we talked about. Sooner or later, you're going to get the, other options involved. They have got, Kevin Faulk is going to have a big game probably at some point where he catches six or seven screen passes and has a productive game. Stallworth, I thought, still could have had a bigger game.
He had a big drop on that crossing route. That could have been a big play.
So I still think you're seeing why he's not a top-level elite-type receiver. He's sort of that talented next-step-down guy.
No, it's funny. As we were talking about one of these weeks, that the big game for Stallworth will probably be, four catches for, we probably thought a little bit more yardage.
Yeah.
But it's funny that was his big game, was four catches for 65 yards and a touchdown.
But his agent doesn't find it funny.
I just don't think that he's a guy that's going to rack up eight or nine catches on his best game. I don't think he catches the ball well enough to do that.
It's kind of like Daniel Graham the old days. You want him to get eight or nine catches, you got to throw to him 19 or 20 times.
Well, Watson did a little of that the other day. It was
always does.
Six catches, it was 12 because he double caught like every one. but
just shows you, though, all these people that are paid very well and their main focus in life is catching the football. Not a lot of them are all that good at it.
Yeah.
In terms of looking at them as elite athletes.
Or like when Belichick says, and we always laugh about it, because it sounds so blatantly obvious, when I like my receivers to be able to get open and catch the ball. Well, thanks.
There's a lot of guys who can't.
Some of the guys that are receivers really don't catch the ball all that well.
Now, Braylon Edwards, that was a nice catch.
He got open and he could catch the ball. So
you see some of the guys that have truly good hands and not so good hands, but still productive.
Another thing, it was a lot. It was quiet and hard to necessarily monitor because you're not watching the line play, but did not see or hear Jarvis Green's name very often, and that tells me that Joe Thomas probably did a pretty good job.
Mm-hmm. It's a good matchup for
Joe
Thomas.
Third overall pick right there.
With the athleticism going against a semi-athletic Jarvis Green and, not necessarily a stud player. That's a matchup that if Joe Thomas is going to be what they say he's going to be, he should win that kind of battle.
Rodney start this week?
Probably.
Well, he learned his lesson by missing the first three plays of the last game. So,
plus he can get that penalty a little bit earlier in the game now,
and maybe it won't be an impactful penalty.
Get it on the first drive, get it out of the way, so it won't hurt you later in the game. We should talk about we talk about Joe Thomas, the Mike Vrabel accusations coming out of Cleveland. Eric Steinbach, that Mike Vrabel dove at Joe Thomas's knee on the spike late in the game. Fans may have seen the little kind of pushing and shoving that ensued after that. They claim it was a cheap shot. I haven't seen a good replay of it, and I actually was talking with Paul. When we saw it at the game, I thought it was Colvin who was involved in the play, and I thought it was Colvin who had gone beyond. It's tough to say you don't try on those plays that you just let them spike.
But you don't.
But for the most part, you don't.
And that's kind of assumed, and that's, we thought it was Colvin. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was Vrabel, and that's certainly who the Browns are upset with. But
they certainly think it was.
I definitely think that it's those plays at the end, especially when the game is not even competitive. I mean, at the point, it was a 17-point game. But a spike play, there's no need to be diving. I mean, you could go hard. I mean, if you think they might fake the spike so you want to have a pass rush,
you take your
first
fine.
Step. Take a first step. But to dive at a guy's legs, that to me is intentionally trying to be chippy and I don't think that's what anybody's looking for out there.
Not the first time this season or this last couple of years Paige has been accused of those types of things.
No, and, nationally, we should probably talk about the play in Houston with Trent Green, which I thought was a very dirty play on the part of a quarterback. I know that some people say, how can the quarterback be guilty of a dirty play? Well, anytime you're blindsiding a player below the waist like that, I think it qualifies as a dirty play. And some Mike Pereira wannabe can get up there and tell me that that's a legal hit because he got the helmet in front or whatever. I ain't buying that.
I say more often than not, that play ends up with the guy getting hit on a stretcher, getting taken off and on a surgery table at some point.
Now, all that said, I don't condone what the name escapes me now.
Travis
Johnson. I don't condone his reactions after that, you know, with a player, you know, prone on the field and obviously
but I also
seriously
don't shred
injured.
Him. I also don't shred him because with the emotion of the game and
no.
he's seeing his career flash before his eyes.
The only thing I could
tried
say,
to hurt me.
I totally agree with you, Andy. The only thing I could say is maybe that stops a little bit faster than it did once you – because at some point he's screaming down at the guy. He realizes the guy ain't moving.
Right.
You know, at some point you say, oh, yeah, I got to stop.
Right.
But
he certainly didn't need.
I understand the
Keith
reaction.
Olbermann to call him the world's worst person or whatever they do that stupid
pot,
segment.
Kettle,
and they were all making fun of Travis Johnson and making. He took a cheap shot. He didn't end up as the one on the stretcher, but he took a cheap shot.
And that was a bad cheap shot too. That's one of those plays.
And I also don't. Trent Green's excuse was he outweighs me by 100 pounds. I think that's stupid too. Then don't block him. Don't play football. Right. You're going to be on the field with bigger guys. And in that situation, you don't have to lay him out. No one's looking for you to de-cleat him. Just get in the way. Do a wide receiver Randy Moss stock block.
I was going to say, he could have pushed him. Get the arms extended and knock him off balance. That's all it takes.
So,
well, in Green's defense, he did need to, you know, probably knock him down because Ted Ginn had the ball, and he's the slowest man in the NFL for some reason. But I'm just glad that Trent Green, his career is done. I'm sick of seeing him out on the football field laboring around, to be
so
honest
So much for
with
that
you.
Comeback Player of the Year award I predicted.
There's a great line right there by Tom Casale. I'm just glad Trent Green is done for his career.
And he's done.
I'm sick of seeing him. I'm sick of seeing guys like that. Just if you're the Dolphins, do something. You know, just put a young quarterback. Do something.
What happened at Trent Green, though? Do you think that the head injury? Because, I mean, until last year, going into last year, while he wasn't considered to be one of the best five or six quarterbacks in football, he was a more than serviceable passer. He, you know, put up big numbers in Kansas City at times. What happened to him? Like, last year he was absolutely inept. It was one of the worst performances I've seen in the playoffs by a quarterback ever, his performance in Indy. And then this year they've been awful.
Yeah, I think age and injury start catching up to you, and you're just not the same player.
Everyone sucks but me.
That's true. Tony Romo was supposed to be the Tom Brady of the NFC. Boy, that fall apart fast last night. What was it, two passes in a row?
He led him back to a win, though.
That's true.
Well, he did an outstanding job of checking down to his secondary receivers on that last drive. Ron Jaworski, man, I love him, but you got to criticize the quarterback. You know, when he turns the ball over six times, you got to criticize the quarterback at least a little.
And some bad throws. The first one was just a terrible throw.
I didn't see almost, telling you guys, I didn't see almost any of the game.
I was watching baseball. He couldn't throw the football. It was like sailing. Everything was high. There was a pass to T.O. that went.
He doesn't compare to Brady at all. He compares to his idol, Favre. You see Favre have those games.
Brady complained about the crown in Buffalo. Maybe crown in Buffalo got Romo.
He kind of throws it like Favre, where people can't see what I'm doing. Where he kind of
obviously we're on the radio.
kind of just like looks up and like flips it, like, you know what I mean. And then you think like it's going somewhere, and it goes right to a defender.
Right.
That's the kind of quarterback he is.
One of those. That one where he was rolling right and tried to throw it back. That was terrible.
If you want to live with Romo, you have to live the same way he did with Favre. He's going to run around. He's going to throw some bad passes because, like Parcells said, one of the things with Romo is when he's not running around, like, I forgot how he put it, but my response to Parcells is he's not your kind of quarterback, Bill.
Right.
He's not a
right.
Bill Parcells. You got to live with that because he makes plays, and that's just the way it is.
And you'll certainly trade a month of good football for a crapping your pants one night.
It's the same thing with Brett Favre. You know,
if it's like a 4-1 ratio, good games to bad, well, then you take it
from 90.
Because then you're 8-2, and
you know, 94-ish, 95 to, you know, like 2000, 2002-ish. He certainly had more games where he ran around and made plays as opposed to mistakes.
Right.
You know, the last couple, it's been more running around and doing things like you just described, Andy, when he's throwing the ball back across his body and he's making a bad mistake. It's been more of that the last couple of years, and that's not acceptable.
Well, you know what I hate that he does? I don't care if he tries to hit it in a spot, throw it as hard as he can. Try and throw it through a guy. The guy picks it off. I don't care. The little flickers that have no chance, there's like three guys, and he just tries to flick it gently. You're Brett Favre. Throw it as hard as you can, and maybe it ends up with your guy.
Did he throw a bunch of picks Sunday night? I didn't watch any of that game.
He threw
either.
A terrible one. I didn't. He was rolling right, and he was about to go out of bounds, and he had maybe the tight end dragging across, and he just tried to flick it back across his body, and there was like just defensive linemen there, Chase. There was just guys everywhere, and it got picked off.
But I want to watch Brett Favre.
They were. I clicked on for a second during a commercial of the baseball, and it was 20-10. They were winning. And then I never went back to the game, and I found out the next morning they lost 27-20. I was like, geez, I wonder what happened there. It was the second half.
And I'm certainly not saying that Tony Romo was Brett Favre, because
but he
he's
does
far
play,
from that.
He does play like Brett Favre.
Yeah, it's not. Tom Brady plays with his head and his intelligence, and that's not Romo. So I really don't see any comparisons to Tom Brady whatsoever.
We also don't know what Tony Romo would be with a good coach.
By the way, here's another way, the way organizations run. Remember Matt Moore when he came in for the Carolina Panthers?
Yeah.
And I said the Cowboys liked him. So Mort was talking about the Panthers quarterback situation, and he said, you know, don't count out Matt Moore. Dallas really liked him and thought that he could be the next, like, Tony Romo in a couple years, that he needed some, you know, seasoning. So they released him, hoping to sign him to their practice squad, but then the Panthers claimed him off waivers. Now, why would you do that with a quarterback that you liked?
Right.
You have Brad Johnson, who's probably there for a year. Here's a kid you like. Now you take the Patriots. They had the Gutierrez that they liked, and they didn't take the chance. They just kept him on, and I think that's just good business. If the quarterback position, everybody in the league knows who these people are, and they're looking for guys. And
do they have a third guy?
No, they only have two.
Well, that's inexcusable then.
Yeah, so I just thought that was funny when I heard that, because we weren't thinking that they would keep Gutierrez. And
right.
Obviously, they really liked him and didn't want to take the chance, but that's what happens when you have someone running the team that knows football and a guy who made his money from oil. As Jerry Jones does.
All right.
Hey, I think Gary's here.
Wow.
Was he out getting food?
It's a big day.
Gary,
I
I'm hungry.
Not.
Speaking of food, when are you guys going to send in more food? I'm starving. This sucks. I mean, we're here every day. We're doing
slaving away for you.
We're doing the
fans.
Heavy lifting.
We're open for any day but Wednesday.
Yeah, send
Tuesday,
us some
Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, we're always available.
I haven't had a sub in forever.
Fans are really going to be mad now.
I don't
right.
care. I need
it.
Food. And plus, one of them will say, all right, I'll send you food. It's worth it.
It's worth it to get these guys to shut up.
Ray from Springfield, he said, can anyone who is the wisest of so-called journalists, I guess that would be you, Paul, please tell me what coach in the NFL doesn't try to win every game? Isn't winning the game the whole point? So if the Patriots did make it to 15-0, I highly doubt that Bill Belichick would say, okay, we can lose this one. I don't think that any of the Patriots would say, okay, who cares if we lose that one? It's just not the way they play the game. True. I mean, it does happen. They rest their starters.
It's very simple. Is it in the best interest of the football team?
Right.
That's what Bill Belichick will do. That's what he says, and he operates that way, and no one will convince me that they didn't lose the game against Miami on that season finale on purpose 2 years ago. Because it was in the best interest in his mind of the football team to lose that game. No problem whatsoever.
They're in this business to win rings, win championships,
right.
Not week 16,
right.
17, whatever.
Now, if they're 15-0, my guess is that they would play that game seriously enough to try to win it. But
plus, we talked about it, the issue with the bye, not having the bye.
Right.
If you're 15-0, you're going to have the bye, meaning you're going to have time off. So it's probably in your best interest of your team to at least play
a
large
bit.
Portion of that game on the up and up, because otherwise you'll have 3 weeks off where you won't have played a legitimate football game.
Yeah.
And then when you get blown out on divisional weekend, people say, well, maybe you should have played that last game. You'd had too long of a layoff, too rusty.
But there are plenty of examples of coaches that don't necessarily take those late season games very seriously. Some of them have worked. You know, the strategy has worked in some cases, in other cases it hasn't.
But they all take them seriously in terms of they're doing what they think is best for the main goal.
Right.
And the main goal is
exactly.
To win the championship.
But that's what the emailer is saying. Every coach tries to win every game. I don't think that's necessarily the goal. The goal is to put the team in the best position moving forward.
The goal
is to win a ring.
Is to win a ring.
Well, this is a nice
segue. You ain't got no ring, it ain't no thing.
This is a nice segue into the next email. This is from Yarek.
Look at you with segue.
Yarek?
Yeah. Yarek.
Yarek.
Hey, guys, I'm just wondering what you would rather have. Would you rather have the Patriots win the Super Bowl last year and this year without going undefeated?
Yes.
Or would you rather leave last year alone and have the Patriots go 19-0 this year. Personally, I'll take the 19-0 season just because it would be such a monumental achievement. P.S.
No, I would take the two Super Bowls.
Yeah, so would I.
Because I get a better chance of getting a bonus if they win a Super Bowl.
P.S.
I'm just saying, I think it's better to win two Super Bowls than one in one immortal year. You think Chicago would rather have the year that they had where they might be considered the greatest single-season team ever, or they would rather have one that they weren't considered that great, but another one the year after that?
The only thing I'll say is from a totally, totally selfish Andy Hart perspective on things, we're already covering, you know, looking back on this in 25 years, if
sure.
you're still alive, Paul. we're already covering
why is that all right?
One of the greatest football teams that ever played. You know, one of the greatest coaches, one of the greatest eras.
If they go undefeated.
If they go undefeated, then you say, I was there for the greatest season in the history of the game. It's above and beyond what they've already accomplished, because I think they've already accomplished greatness in this generation.
Oh, I agree.
That would be a
I
big
agree.
Stamp. And I feel like that would be an extra story to tell to grandkids someday.
Yeah, I agree.
ESPN
I would fall back
calls,
on
they
five.
Need an expert on the 19-0 season. You're and dead, so they call me.
They call me, and then I end up on the cutting room floor again. But what are you going to do? I still go by five Super Bowls is better than four. I mean, I look at it that way.
Is that kind of like and it's easier to win than
absolutely.
And Yarrett says, P.S., Fred and Andy, what are your shirt sizes? I was thinking of sending you some I Eat It t-shirts, except on the back it would say Lori's Muffins.
Time out. Why are you teaming up with me?
I wear an XL. Well, for now. Might be a medium in a couple of weeks.
I'm pretty sure Fred wears an XL. So you can take that one to the bank.
I'll take those t-shirts. That would be funny. I like free t-shirts.
Plus,
I don't know if Deidre will find it funny.
I was going to say, give you a chance
plus
to...
Plus the fact that you kind of are.
What?
Nothing.
I made some good blueberry pancakes yesterday with the day off. Ooh. They popped in your mouth, as Fred would say.
It took the little guys to get their pictures taken. We had an I Hate TJ comment come out of one of them.
We knew it was there, but now just to come out and say it, I mean, now it's on the record.
First we had pictures of Will, you know, for a little while. He's doing these different things, and then we put TJ in. We wanted him to, you know, hold him up because he can't really sit up completely by himself yet. You know, he could, but you never know when it's going to go over. So we said, you got to stand here like this. You got to hold him up. And he kept pushing him away. And this went on for about five.
I hate him.
This went on for about 5 minutes. He goes, I hate TJ. And I looked at Beth. I go, did he just, it's like Wedding Singer when they're singing the songs and they're swearing. And they're all looking at each other like, did he just say, and I looked at Beth. Did he say hate?
That's just out there now.
Oh, it's a tough one.
Ready?
Sorry. I should have known it's Cowboys week. Tom is extra on edge.
PJ, hey, guys. I just got done watching the Cowboys game, and what a game it was. I do have to say, though, that if that's all the Cowboys have for next week, they don't stand a chance. I don't want to hear Tom or any
you
of you guys
correct.
Say that it was a trap game for Dallas, because you all made fun of an emailer on Friday who said just that. I believe Tom said, if Dallas doesn't smoke the Bills, then they aren't as good as people think. That's correct. Well, not only did Dallas not smoke the Bills, they were lucky to win the game by recovering an onside kick. After winning an emotional game with a short week and a below-average coach, the Cowboys have no shot to beat the Pats. Just so you don't think I'm Craig or Fred, I also don't think the Pats will go 16-0, but I think a good team has to catch them in the perfect spot to beat them, and this is just not the week. Can't wait for the big showdown. Oh, yeah, I heard a lot of Dallas fans talking over the last couple of weeks. Cowboys fans, please do me a favor and make sure not to mention Tony Romo and Tom Brady in the same sentence. I think Romo is pretty good, but let's not get carried away. P.S., what would the score in the New England-Dallas game be if Romo had those six turnovers? 45-2.
Yeah, blowout.
I'm going to make a prediction that he will never – he says they won't go 16-0, and a good team will have to catch him in the right spot. He will never predict that game where it's a good team that catches them in the right spot.
Are we saying that Dallas is not even, quote, a good team?
No, I'm just going to say...
They're now a bad team?
I'm going to say I wholeheartedly agree with the email. If the Cowboys turn the ball over six times...
They can't win.
They can't win.
Unless the Patriots turn
it
over
six times. And this is why I criticize the trap game, because they did turn the ball over six times. They did fail to get a two-point conversion with 20 seconds left in the game, and they still won. That's why I didn't think it was a trap game, and they would still win no matter what.
Why are you looking at me when you're yelling? What are you all worked up for?
I just think it's...
This is what I do.
I just think if they're looking at – my point was saying if they don't smoke Buffalo, they're not as good as we think.
They're not as good as we thought.
Right.
No, but I think they are a little overrated. But plus, if you're already looking ahead to next week, the Cowboys haven't won anything.
Right.
In 10 years, they haven't won a freaking playoff game. Now you're looking ahead to games. To me, that's coaching.
Right.
And that's where the problem lies on that team. And the reason I wanted them to win so badly last night is because I know this is going to unravel at some point. And I didn't want it to be next week. I wanted to at least go one more week where they're undefeated and play the Patriots, because as soon as they lose a couple, which number one will probably be next week, I can't wait to see how much all this kumbaya singing around Wade Phillips goes.
Because then this week, instead of becoming a great win, comes, well, you should have lost the week before, so you should have lost two in a row now.
Right.
And then it can start to snowball.
And it was funny, because I was like Tom. I was kind of rooting for Dallas to win last night just for the drama of 2-5-0 teams
no
and
question.
All that. But it did go through my mind because I'm not a big fan of this whole the ultra player coach thing, and this whole Wade Phillips nonsense is really, I was taking some pleasure in saying, so they're going to lose this week now because they blew this game. They're definitely losing to the Patriots next week. Let's see how much they love each other, and it's great to have a coach on the sideline who looks like he doesn't even know there's a game going on, let alone what play to call. The fact that they had to call a timeout. When they scored a touchdown with 20 seconds left.
That was my test.
And they had to call a timeout for a two-point conversion is one of the worst displays of a lack of preparation that you could have. They took over with over 4 minutes left in the game, down by 8. Why did they need extra time to decide what to call on a two-point conversion? That two-point conversion play should have been
ready 10 minutes ago.
All set.
When ready Monday night when they wrote out the game plan.
When we get in, this is what we're going with on the two-point conversion. And on top of all that, that's just bad coaching in general. Bad play calling would, to me, and Tom agreed with this when we talked about it, to go empty in that situation with Marion Barber as your running back on the two-yard line, to go empty and tell the other team we're not running the ball.
And to run a fade.
Is just ridiculous.
I hate the fade. You know what I mean? Once I knew it, too, because when you saw it empty, you're saying to yourself, they're probably going to run a fade because here comes everybody. And I hate, you have Romo, a mobile quarterback, like you
who's
said.
Who's best on the run.
Put pressure on the defense.
Put Barber in the game where they do the little circle route to the running back and have other guys out there where he can throw or run or at least throw one up. They're just a fade.
I'm not saying that they had to run the ball. I'm just saying they should have left that as an option for themselves.
Right. Okay, we have Anthony in Naples, Florida on the phone. Anthony, what's going on?
What's up, Tom?
How you doing?
I'm doing good. Have you conceded yet that Moss has better hands?
Yes. No, I've conceded that T.O. stinks.
Right at the top of the show, he's off
yes,
T.O.
Yes, I'm off T.O. He stinks. He's not even the best receiver on the Cowboys.
Yeah, I thought of you last night when I was watching that little catch in the end zone or trying to make a catch there. I was like, if it was Moss, he would have done it.
Yeah, you're right. There's nothing I can say. I can't defend a guy who is not getting the job done, and I won't do it. So you're right. He should have made all those receptions last night, and he didn't do it.
You know, I was kind of like, going into that game last night, I was like, I want to see how Dallas does, because it's going to show a lot for next week against the Patriots. Now I almost feel like the Patriots are going to blow them out. I hate to say it.
Well, I'm going to take a Fred Kirsch stance here and say that they were holding things back. They were playing possum because that's if we were Cowboys Football Weekly, that's what Fred would be saying right now. No, we just didn't we didn't want to show Belichick everything. We're kind of holding it back. So
you decide to give the other team the ball six times to kind of help it out, right?
Yeah, because they didn't want to show too much. So
just to make it easier, let's give them the ball.
So that's what Fred Kirsch would come up with. Yeah, I don't know if it'll be a blowout, but I don't think the Cowboys are gonna win. The Patriots will pull away.
Oh, and just one last thing. It seems like after all my complaining about Junior Seau, it seems like Bill Belichick listens to PFW and listens to me.
I don't.
Because he didn't put Junior Seau in there this week.
Well, maybe he listens to you. He doesn't
really
listen to this show.
They didn't really have a whole lot of goal line plays though this week, did they?
Yeah, I think you'll see that come back when they're on the goal line more.
Yeah,
as much as I'd like to.
I was just hoping he was listening to PFW and took my advice.
Oh, I hope he doesn't. I'll be fired.
Yeah, I think if he did listen to the show, we probably wouldn't be on the air much longer. But, what are you going to do?
All right, guys. Have a good one.
All right,
Anthony. Take care, Anthony.
Take it easy.
Hey, Anthony brought up something there that I asked you guys about upstairs. Maybe we should talk about it. Do you think that the Cowboys' performance last night, does that work for the Patriots, against the Patriots? Does it help? Does it help kind of snap the Cowboys and say, okay, well, we didn't play well, but we got away with it. We won. Now we get on to the game that obviously we were focused on. Does it? I mean, how do you think the perception?
I'll give you the answer I gave you upstairs.
Like Anthony just said, after watching that game, the Patriots are going to blow them out. I mean,
I said upstairs, and I thought about this as soon as I saw the highlights of that game this morning. I was trying to think of that, how it would be used, how it would work. But all those scenarios involve thinking what a good coach does coming off of that game. And I just think Wade Phillips stinks. So I don't think he'll use it in any way positive.
The only thing I think it would help the Cowboys slightly in this way is that we know all the Patriots were home watching the game. Now, if they will come out and win 42-0, they're sitting there looking, you know, wow, this team is phenomenal.
Right.
I think maybe just human nature says they're looking at this team thinking, that's the best they got.
Right.
So maybe a little bit that way, but
they're coming off their own little bit of a letdown where they didn't play
great.
I expect
the Patriots to be ready to
play. Going on the road to a team that is undefeated, I think if anything, you're looking at sort of the San Diego game where they might want to just blow them out of the water and say, there's no other team in the league than us right now, so don't even think about it.
The only thing I would say is this. I wouldn't take the Rams game and say that's how good the Cowboys are, and I wouldn't take the Bills game and say this is how bad the Cowboys are. I think they're a pretty good team. I don't think they're in the Patriots class. Like we said, they're going to need some turnovers. They're going to need some things to happen because they're not going to line up man-on-man, play an equal game with the Patriots, and come out ahead. That's not going to happen. We'll go one more email and take a break. PJ, another email. I think he's got a problem with Paul.
I see Paul's
name in there.
Okay.
Hey, guys, I just wanted to touch on something I heard on the podcast. Gary Q. John Hanna.
Download the podcast now.
Okay.
We don't need Gary
to
roll
around.
He's better
than Gary.
I agree.
You know what? Gary's the worst one at that job. I'm like the third guy in a row that's been better than Gary.
Hey, the last time you called Gary out, he came in looking
for you. I just heard on the podcast that Paul said on Friday. He said that Tony Romo played about as well as any quarterback can play at the end of last year. But because Dallas lost some games, people jumped all over Romo. I seem to remember Romo being very hot and cold, so I looked up the stats. Over the last 5 weeks, Dallas went 2-3. Romo threw 6 TDs and 8 interceptions. His quarterback rating was over 110 twice and under 63 times. I don't think you can say he played as well as any quarterback can play. Well, I think Romo has the potential to be a very good quarterback.
I think he's
too inconsistent right now to label him as such. Also, since the game wasn't in on Philly, go ahead, Paul.
Well, the only thing on the podcast, I was talking about how they just blamed it on the quarterback last year for their not being able to get over the hump and not be able to be as good as a team as they thought they could be. And obviously, Bledsoe was not playing well, and when Romo went in, things changed. The quarterback play was at a level that was as good as you could expect it, and the record didn't change. They were the same with Bledsoe as they were without Bledsoe, record-wise. And I thought Romo played at a much, much higher level than Bledsoe, especially the first, whatever, how many games, Tom? 5, 6 games?
Yeah, for
now,
six.
No question, he leveled off at the end, but you can't play the position better than he played it, yet they still lost as many games as they won, just like they did with Bledsoe, 9-7. I mean, that's what they did with him, and that's what they did without him. Now who's at fault was my point, not whatever the stats were in the last 5 weeks of the season.
Well, I'm here.
Well, we're taking
a
break,
Fred.
And to your point, I don't know if you watched the pregame with Parcells. Parcells was talking
to Keyshawn. There was a baseball game on last night.
Parcells was talking to Keyshawn about Keyshawn Johnson, and he was saying, you know, on a lot of these teams, you know, Keyshawn thinks it's a Texaco station. You just, you know, fix the carburetor, and then the whole car runs better. And it's just more than just the quarterback a lot of times.
And this is from the guy who took the quarterback out.
Exactly.
So obviously he thought there was a problem there, and he was right. Because I think Romo played at a much higher level than Bledsoe.
Yeah, and Keyshawn was also right. The two problems the Cowboys have, soft in the secondary, no leadership in the locker room. Gary's replacement, let's take a break.
Just help Fred.
This is Richard Seymour. If you're a big Patriots fan, show your team pride and win great prizes by ordering your Patriot specialty license plate. Team Rules says your car has to be registered in Massachusetts to be eligible. When you place your order, you have the chance to win Patriots tickets and memorabilia. Proceeds from the sales of the license plates go to the New England Patriots Charitable Foundation. Now that's worth driving for. To score your new set, apply online or in person at your local RMV or log on to Patriots.com for more details. Show your team spirit, give to a great cause, and get your Patriots license plate today.
Hey, this is Hall of Famer John Hanna. Let me tell you about the first ever Game with the Greats. Have you ever wondered what former football players talk about when we're watching the game? Well, now you can find out for yourself at the first ever Game with the Greats. On October 14th at Gillette Stadium, watch the Patriots take on the Cowboys in the Fidelity Investments Clubhouse, along with me, a bunch of my teammates, and other Patriot alumni. Guys like Andre Tippett, Steve Nelson, Steve Grogan, and Pete Brock will be there with you to enjoy the game and just hang out. Tickets are limited because they're only $25. Visit the Patriots.com homepage and click on Alumni for more information. We're all going to be at the Game with the Greats. Where will you be?
When you got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Okay, we're back here in PFW in Progress. Tom is slacking in his host duties. Too busy talking on the cell phone.
What's Gary's replacement doing?
He's starting the show up. After the spots, you go back into the show.
What are you talking about?
Well, usually I get a usually I get a motion or something. He's just sitting over there.
He was.
You walked behind the door.
Arms.
Hey, you know what? I was wrong. You know, Gary.
You've hit rock bottom. You're getting chastised by Mini Gary.
Hey, Mini Gary, what's your name?
You were lying your ass off.
I don't know anyone's name around here.
He is better with that board, though. I got to give him that.
Well, it's because he's not on the computer playing video games like Gary does.
That is true.
It's solitaire.
Yeah, whatever he's doing. Fred, what's your opinion on things? Not that anyone
cares.
How
you doing, Fred? We haven't seen you since Cincinnati.
Well, you guys walked out after the overnight Sunday. It wasn't really an overnight Sunday at once, not bad. And we had to send our picks to Neckin.
Oh, are you backpedaling now?
Yeah. Fred Kirsch,
you picked the Cowboys.
Why don't you let me
We were all still here. We all made our picks when we were still here.
I know. But you guys all said you were very disappointed in me.
Oh, I was definitely
disappointed. Because you don't believe your own crap.
I do.
I think you're full of crap.
Now, when the Cowboys were about to lose that game last night, I was thinking, oh, man, I got to redo that pick. This is ridiculous. But I'm sticking with the Cowboys. I think that a win like
Frank
that.
Frank in South Carolina just had a heart attack.
A win like that proves that.
That has nothing to do with it, Fred. You picked the game before, and I know why you did
no,
it.
No, but
I'll tell you why you did it.
Why?
You want me to tell you?
Why?
Because if the Cowboys win, you don't want me riding your butt for the next 2 months talking about
no.
how the Cowboys
no.
beat the Patriots.
That's not how I do it.
That's how you do it.
It's reverse psychology.
It's reverse psychology.
Oh, what, the team's listening? And Fred said we're going to lose.
No,
we got to win now.
Reverse psychology.
But you think you have an impact.
And you know darn well the Cowboys aren't going to win.
I don't know.
Here's why I'm disappointed with you. I'm going to tell you why I'm disappointed, Fred. Real quick, very simple.
Okay.
You once told me when we were making all these picks, as far back as like 2001 or 2000,
that's right.
If I think the Patriots have a chance to win, then I'm going to pick the Patriots. As long as I think they have a chance, then I'm going to pick them. So, but you picking Dallas tells me that you don't think the Patriots have a chance, and that's ridiculous.
Well, so a team that hasn't scored less than 34, hasn't given up less than – no longer has a chance to win a game.
I've picked against the – obviously, every team has a chance to win every game. So then I would have to pick the Patriots every time, right? But
– that's usually your
goal. I've picked the Colts before. I've picked the Steelers before.
Yeah, and games that you really didn't think the Patriots had a chance to win.
I think the Patriots have a chance to win every game.
But when you picked the Colts over the Patriots, I believe it was Tom Brady's first game. And no one thought the Patriots had a chance to win that game.
I picked them twice that year.
Right.
Because you thought they were the better team.
But you didn't think they had a chance to win.
I think the Cowboys, I thought before this game, and I think now, even though the Cowboys had that miserable display, I just think the Patriots are going to have a letdown.
Fred.
I really do. I think the trend is toward that, to the point where you get that alarm clock goes up.
Here's the point I believe Paul is trying to make. You don't pick upsets. You don't pick the Patriots to lose to the Dolphins. You don't. This is an upset.
Well, I am this time.
So you don't, yeah, but you don't do this.
But
so
it's a departure from the norm
did it.
For you. It's a departure from the
I
norm.
I just did it. It is a departure.
You'll pick like the Bengals.
I just had
when
a very strong feeling. I had a very strong feeling that the Cowboys are going to win this
very
game.
Very disappointed. If I don't have my moral compass
Patriots,
and Fred Kirsch, I don't know what to do.
You know, it's just like that USC game. You know, we said, you know, we saw it coming. They were getting closer and closer to opponents. You know, they were starting to, the offense was starting to hesitate. I just think that the Patriots are going to have a letdown. It's going to be one of those wake-up call games where they might even play better than the Cowboys, but they're going to lose that
All
game.
Right, well,
I think on the other hand, I think going into this game, the Cowboys were riding high. I think after this game now, they've proven to themselves that they can win any game.
Because
the kind of,
they beat the Bills?
Well, that's why I want. That's why I was asking.
Well, no, they beat. They won a game that they had six
they had no
turnovers.
Business winning. See, that's why.
And they gave up a return on a kickoff.
I still That's think why it's hard to argue that because they won that game, they think they can beat anyone.
I think it's a confidence
they
booster.
They dug the hole they got into against a bad football team.
And they
team.
Still were but don't, able to
don't
overcome
other,
it.
If it wasn't either the 31st or the 32nd team in the NFL, yeah. You probably don't win the game.
I think that's the only team in football that doesn't win the game is the Buffalo Bills.
So.
But that's why I wanted to add, that's why I brought that question up, because I think you could certainly look at it like that for Dallas, that you know, we did all these things wrong. I mean, that's what good teams do. When they play really, really badly, they somehow, some way, find a way to pull
right.
it out.
I mean, that defense
that's a confidence
kept
builder.
Them in that
I think
game.
It is.
You know,
yeah, I agree with that.
I think that's a confidence building
I
win
think
for
it
them.
Is. I think it's a confidence builder.
I don't think they're that good.
I think
good.
It snowballs the wrong
that.
Way when they lose this week.
It could. It could.
Because I think they say, well, we should have lost 2 weeks ago, and we just got blown out by the Patriots at home.
Yeah, but what happens if you go out and you lose, you know, you don't turn the ball over, and you just you lose,
and
you know, 28-14.
I mean, now, let me ask
then
you guys
fine.
Another
wrong
question.
With that.
This is just something that I was thinking about. I wrote about it in the edit letter, which will come out. But why was it that Adalis Thomas felt he needed to come out with this Humble Pie T-shirt?
Well, he also said they just came
in. Yeah, he did. They did it a long time ago. They just happened to come in this week.
Oh, really?
I mean, unless he's lying.
There goes that edit letter.
Might want to skip to the table of contents there.
But why does he think he needs to do a humble pie? What is it about this team that needs to be reminded about that?
Because Bill preaches it.
I understand, but
a lot of ways, Fred,
he's been
preaching
it for 7 years.
Well, Adalis Thomas just got here. He couldn't make the T-shirts
right.
from Baltimore.
In a lot of ways, I think Adalis Thomas was kind of taken aback by the way that some of the things are done here. And he talked about that a little bit in terms of in the preseason when he thought that, you know, there was aspects that were really done well. And they would go in the films, and Bill would point out all the things that were done wrong. And he didn't really I don't want to say he didn't like it, but he didn't really understand it. He admitted he didn't really understand
it. Because he's coming from Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, high-flying, big play, a little bit of talk defense.
But even there, I'm sure there were things done
Marvin
wrong.
Marvin Lewis
that maybe
was his coordinator
maybe,
in the past.
I'm that
sure
might,
they,
that might
I'm
be
sure
the thing.
In there were plenty of times in Baltimore when they were doing very well, they were allowed to say, damn,
we're
doing
good.
Well.
And Bill wouldn't let that happen.
Right.
Bill would say, hey, you know what?
It's you a let, new look
you
for
let,
him.
You let this 3rd and 12 play get completed in the middle of the game. What happened there? And
right.
that's what he would pick on. You know, we're allowing 3rd and more than 10, more than anybody else in the league, when they may have actually only been one of them.
Right.
You know, that's what Bill does. He picks on something. It's never a lie. It's never wrong. It's just exaggerated to the point
he
where
– reminds them, yes.
He,
it's
people,
a reminder.
He makes them think that there's a mistake.
Was, it is what it is.
Maybe one of the better quotes I've ever gotten out of that locker room, when he said that Bill preaches to them to hold themselves to a higher standard. It's not good enough to win. It's about winning and playing well. And that's where they are right now.
I think that's why. I think Adalis Thomas had a little bit of a hard time grasping that when he first got here. And then I think that's what this whole humble pie thing was. I mean, if they'd be, that's the way he talked. If they'd be
Plus,
taken
he admitted
at face value.
It was also just kind of a fun little unity thing where, oh, we're all going to wear the same T-shirt.
Except Teddy Bruschi.
That's true. And the quarterback.
I will say this, though. If the
he was at Movado photo shoots.
I was going to say, the quarterback don't need any humble pie.
If the Cowboys win this game, that'll be the high point of their season, because they're going to it's the inmates running the asylum. Keyshawn made a great point last night. He said Patrick Creighton was talking about, we think we can set the scoring record that the Minnesota Vikings had and blah, blah, blah. And Keyshawn said, they're focusing on the wrong thing.
Right. They're focusing
Who
on records.
Who cares about that stuff?
Right. That's, you know? That's what I'm talking about, that I think Adalis Thomas probably came from a defense in Baltimore that constantly talked about setting the franchise mm-hmm. record, setting the NFL record for least amount of points allowed, whereas Bill would say,
and
I don't want to hear any of that nonsense.
And that is something that Belichick understands, I think, as good or better than most of these coaches. These guys, left to their own devices,
yes.
do the wrong thing.
And that is 100% correct.
You have to constantly be on them over and over and over again.
And that's why the player coaches thing usually doesn't work out. I know Tony Dungy, I don't know if he's as much. I know he's a nice guy, but I don't know if he's a play. Like,
I'm not sure he's not. Either.
He's not Wade
Phillips.
Well,
what he has going for him is Peyton Manning.
And I was just
Peyton
say,
Manning is a second
a
coach.
Good coach in Tampa.
I was going to say he did a pretty good job. He built a Super Bowl winner in Tampa.
Even though he didn't. And by the way, if we're going to use that argument, Bill Belichick has something going for him called Tom Brady.
Right.
No, but I think.
But I'm just saying, in Indianapolis,
he's got another guy. Kind of
Manning is the leader.
Well, there's no question.
He's the guy that sets the tone. And what he does is constantly work at football.
But I do think
that's what he does.
I do think there's a difference between being a well-respected among the players kind of coaches, and then being a player's coach to the point where
players coach is not a good thing.
I don't
know.
I don't.
You know, you didn't want to let Tony Dungy down. You respect him. You don't want to. You don't want to let him down.
That's my point.
I don't know if Pete Carroll had that. You don't care if you let
Wade Phillips and
judging from afar,
they're buffoons.
Judging from afar, I don't think Wade Phillips has that same thing. I don't think they want to win it. Tom brought up a great point, Fred. Buffalo fired Wade Phillips, and many would say unfairly.
Right.
He had a reasonable amount of success there, and he was very upset. He has a very bad relationship with Ralph Wilson.
The guy came one game away from the Super Bowl with Doug Flutie as his quarterback.
Well, that's not true, but that's okay.
Most of Fred's facts aren't.
I don't know where you were going with that.
But the point I was trying to make and that Tom made is that there's bad blood between Wade Phillips and Ralph Wilson, right? So they go with a 4-0 juggernaut to Buffalo last night.
And lay an egg.
And they lay an egg.
Now, don't you think that if there was, for the coach?
You know, don't you think the first time back to Cleveland, how do you think the Patriots wanted to, you know, respond when they had a great team? Now, you know, it's one thing if you just don't have the horses to go out and lay a whooping to someone, but, you know, what did they do in 2004 when they went to Cleveland? 45-15 or whatever it was, you know, one of those kinds of games. When you have a powerhouse team and you're vastly superior to that team and there's bad blood, there's no way you're going out laying an egg like that last night.
How much of last night was the AFC-NFC thing? Do you think that the worst team in the AFC is that much better than most teams in the
NFC?
I don't think
this one is.
Because the Cowboys, it was their own doing.
It was all self-inflicted.
They made mistakes. I mean, we saw early they faked the punt, get a first down, and then can't do anything with it. They didn't do anything.
You know where I think that
they scored 3 points.
Right. I think, you know where I think that would be? Like, say, like the Titans or the Jaguars, who aren't upper echelon AFC teams, they're better than the Cowboys.
Right.
And the Cowboys are supposed to be the best. I think if you put the Titans or Jaguars in the NFC, they'll win that conference easy.
And if if I watched the game and I saw Buffalo moving the ball up and down the field and scoring and doing things and shutting down Dallas, creating punts instead of turnovers, then I would say, that AFC-NFC thing, because they lined up and played.
Even the
they
defensive
didn't line up
plays, he was throwing it
right to
guys.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, they didn't
anybody
line
in
up.
The NFL can catch a ball thrown and hits him in the chest.
Yeah, if they didn't line up and beat them, they just they just played poorly, Dallas.
One other thing. Did I see Deion Anderson, my boy, start the game when they were on the goal line and whiff twice on two opening blocks?
He had a ton of catches,
he
though.
He caught like three passes.
Well, I was watching him do what, fullbacks do. When you're backed up against the goal line, block somebody. I saw him run right by two guys, and Jones got
Hoyt
twice.
Is,
they almost had a safety.
Hoyt is still hurt, which is a problem in the running game because he's a better blocker than Anderson.
He's the best blocking fullback in football.
According to the preview. I had to throw that in. How
did
many times
laugh?
I laughed out loud.
How many times are we ever going to be able to talk about Oliver Hoyt?
Oliver
Super Bowl
Hoyt.
Preview, we can do a whole page on him.
It ain't going to the Super Bowl, trust me.
Somebody's got it.
Someone's got it from
Someone's
that conference.
Got it from
it'll
the
be
NFC.
Somebody with a better coach who out-coaches them in the playoffs.
So who's the best coach in the NFC?
Mike Holmgren.
I think Lovie Smith is better than Wade. Listen, I think Wade Phillips is terrible. The things I've seen he celebrated that game last night like they just won the Super Bowl. Could you imagine Bill Belichick?
He celebrated like a Red Sox player.
Don't start that. Can you imagine Bill Belichick after they played terribly? I'll give you a perfect example. Week one last year against Buffalo, they played terribly. Had no business winning the game. They squeak it out. Did I see Belichick running around the field with his arms up in the air? I mean, it's week four. Yeah.
Well, they did have that one in Miami where he threw the headsets in the air. Remember that game?
The Mary Tyler Moore game.
Yeah.
Troy
For
Brown
the record,
overtime,
Fred.
Which, by the way, also was the Steve Burton game.
Right. It's too bad that Red Sox celebration hangover hurt them in the opening series. I mean, imagine what they would have done if they had been businesslike and focused on winning.
Well, who said it was going to hurt them?
Well, what does it matter then?
By the way, what did you think of the celebration after winning this series?
I didn't see it. Did they celebrate?
They just kind of like high-fived, shook hands.
So somebody got to them.
No, I'm just wondering. I wanted to compare it to the Patriots celebration after the San Diego win.
Do you mean the 10-minute display they had at midfield?
Yeah.
You're going to compare that to what they did?
No, I'm comparing it to what the Red Sox did.
Ball. Paul, please. Don't even.
In the Anaheim game, is that the same?
Don't even go there.
Listen, when you win games, when you win big games, you should celebrate. The Patriots should have celebrated after beating San Diego, just like the Red Sox celebrated after.
Have fun. It's a sport. Have fun.
I mean, it's sports. You should have fun.
Almost every column on the internet made fun of it.
That's low hanging.
That makes it okay.
Because that's low hanging.
It is low hanging fruit.
It's ridiculous.
Every column on the internet made fun of Bill Belichick. So those were all
right
too. Okay, I'll read all. Greg Easterbrook on point.
You're right.
I'm not going to.
Well, you guys agree with that. Why don't you agree
I don't
with
agree
this?
With Greg Easterbrook.
Because
I think
have
that was
my
one
own
of the silly
oh,
things
come
I've ever
on.
Seen.
Everything except Patriots.com.
I think that Greg
Let's
Easterbrook
go.
Stuff was ridiculous.
Oh, that was over the top. That
yes.
was the only thing?
Yeah.
The Greg Easterbrook thing? Yeah.
Is
I
that
think
the
that
only
was
thing
ridiculous.
That was over the top?
Well, I don't want to turn this into Red Sox, but if we're just going by internet columns. And
right.
I have
now,
to
the internet is
everywhere
like
the,
I read a long column.
Wikipedia says don't celebrate after you win
Division
Crown.
Everywhere I looked, they were making fun of the Red Sox for that. Except you.
Except me, I'm the only one that
you're the
think,
only one that
I'm the
I've
only one
to.
That didn't think it was over the top.
You're the only one that I've talked to that sticks up for that. That's what they should have done.
How many of those people that you talk to don't work
Did
for
you
the
talk
Patriots?
To five people.
None. Name a person that you talked to that had a problem with it that doesn't work for the Patriots.
Let's see. My wife, Mark Capella,
all work for the Patriots.
Mark what? Capella.
That's all in the Patriots family. Your wife is in the Patriots family. Okay. Mark Capella
it's true,
worked for
Fred.
The Patriots radio
it's
station.
Anyone I talk to.
They all hate the Red Sox.
No,
that's my
don't.
Point.
I don't hate the Red Sox.
You what? Don't?
No.
Ooh, I'm going to have to tell someone else upstairs about that one. That's,
wow.
that's part of the blood around here.
Oh, see, now,
I'll tell you.
This is Paul, you know, spreading rumors here. I go into the
I know you don't like the Red Sox.
I go
By the way, what innings did you leave game two in the other night?
Listen,
that shows you how much you don't like the Red Sox.
I go to the men's room.
This is the fan. This is the guy who gets up and gets all excited when he's at games. Tommy left the game in the sixth inning.
Look at him, Paul. That vein is going to burst. He's all red.
It is embarrassing that you left that game.
Joe Fan over here. I'm a bigger fan than you.
Well, he had to get the daddy out.
You don't get up and chair a third
Paul
down.
Paul thinks that no one that works for the Patriots is a Red Sox fan. I go to the men's room. All over the floor in the stall are stuff from the Red Sox that people printed out to read. There's a lot of Red Sox fans here.
You mean the newspaper?
No, I'm talking about stuff they printed out from the internet.
Yeah, on the internet, from the Globe and the Herald. That's
whatever,
the
it's Red Sox.
That's the newspaper.
This place is full of Red Sox fans. What are you talking about?
This is a baseball town.
This place is not full of Red Sox fans.
So, I'm not one of them.
Well, you're not really in this place, but, you know.
Apparently you're out.
I'm, you know. Now that the Yankees are out, I'm turning my venom on the Red Sox.
Whatever suits Paul's argument. Everybody here is against the Red Sox. That's
no,
why
I didn't
they made
say
fun
that.
Of,
I said,
that's
who
why
you,
they made fun of that ridiculous
asked,
display that they had.
I asked
with Papelbon running around in a jock strap with a box on his head and swimming goggles on.
I asked
that's
you,
normal.
I asked you
and he
who,
wonders why he has migraines the next day.
Right.
I asked you who you thought.
Good Lord.
I asked you who you talked to, and you couldn't give me anybody that didn't have a direct connection to the Patriots.
Everything I've read. And everybody I've talked to.
But you can't tell me
that.
Where you've read it or who you talked to.
Are you out of your mind?
As I was reading it, I wasn't listening it because I didn't think you'd be so stubborn to not.
Because I think it's ridiculous that you think they've celebrated too
Fred,
much.
You have to be honest.
I mean, we're having fun here, but I think that particular point is utterly
ridiculous.
You have to be honest. A lot of times when negative things are written about the Patriots and we sort of bring them up to you and sort of say, look what people are writing.
Right.
You poo-poo them, low-hanging fruit.
All right, no, that's true.
That was an
so
easy
So you're admitting that people wrote negatively about that.
I didn't read any.
The Red Sox? Oh. I didn't read anything, but I haven't read a lot of the
I heard a lot of people complaining.
I heard
in conversation.
Who?
People like you,
on
idiots.
On the bus.
That work here?
Yes.
Anyone else beyond here?
No, only on the bus.
All right. Well, if you're
I'll
not going
right
to be
now,
honest
I'm,
about it, then let's move on.
I think a lot of people thought it was funny.
Let's move on.
I'm just
lying. A lot of ridiculous things are very funny, and that was hysterical.
But all I'm saying to you is
it was funny. It was enjoyable. It was people having fun.
You didn't get a word in edgewise, Tom.
I was cracking up. It was the best TV I've had
in a long time. I'm laughing with them. You're laughing at them. You think you're making fun of them.
This is where
the losers. They don't know how to win.
He
they should be doing
cerebral.
The lights out dance on Fenway Park.
He thinks he's cerebral. Like I thought it was funny. A lot of things that are ridiculous are funny, but you were laughing at them.
Yes, I was.
Right. So you didn't think it was funny. You were laughing at them because they were doing it.
Well, it was funny.
Not what they were
it
doing.
Was hysterical.
It was because they were doing
someone
it.
Someone is sick of Fred's crap.
Wow.
Sandeep.
I thought for sure that was coming at me.
Hi, guys. Tom has the decency to admit that he is an unabashed Cowboys fan, but Fred, you are so full of bovine excrement.
When have I not admitted that I'm a Patriot?
Just
fan?
Admit, you are picking the Cowboys to reverse jinx the Patriots.
No.
Paul, I may not agree with you a lot,
why
a lot of things
I
you say, but
week?
I'm on your side 100% this time.
Thanks,
Cheers, Sandeep.
I don't have a lot of friends.
Why wouldn't
I could
do
use
that
some.
Every week then? Why this week?
because it's a big game. Not
you're
every,
a little worried. You think there's a chance the Cowboys.
As I recall, there were three other big games that I picked the Patriots on.
But this is the first game this year that they've had
against
a chance
to lose.
Against
the Rams, the Panthers, and the Eagles. And I was right on those.
Right, but you,
I know you're not going to pick against them for a Super Bowl.
Super Bowl.
Why not?
Because you wouldn't do it. You're
Why?
Fred Kirsch, the editor of Patriots.com. Homer Central. You are Homer Kirsch.
If my main goal is to have them win, what do I care how it happens?
I've always thought that because you didn't think there was a chance they were going to lose
those games. Look, you guys might be shocked that I'm picking this game. That's fine. But don't ever come to me and say, well, you never pick against the Patriots.
That's part of my reason.
Right.
That I'm making fun of you.
So now you don't have an argument anymore. That's why you're upset.
No, Fred, because if I really thought that you thought they were going to lose, I wouldn't be making fun of you.
I don't think for a second you think they're going to lose. I sit there and go, you know, I think they're going to win. 9 out of 10 times. This time I really thought, I think they're going to lose.
That's
this
all
game.
I'm saying. If you could really convince me. And this is nothing to do with the Red Sox. This is serious.
Either what I
really
just said is true, or I'm a liar.
But if you could really convince me,
you thought they were going to lose.
Give me a reason other than you think that they're due for a letdown.
Well, that's one reason.
They just had a huge letdown.
The other reason is I think the Dallas defense is pretty damn good.
But it's really not. Have you watched it?
Yeah, I watched them not give up a touchdown last night.
They played
Bills.
The worst team in the league.
Trent Edwards is a rookie quarterback, a rookie running back.
Interceptions.
Because half those scored
I was
gonna on
say
their
they
own.
Scored on them.
Two of them.
The offense couldn't score when the defense already scored.
Well, that's not their defense.
But that's another chance that they didn't have to score.
I know, but the offense was constantly putting them in a bad place, and they didn't give up
a touchdown. Look, I give Dallas a lot of credit for winning a game that they had no business winning, but, again, we have a whole week to talk about it. If you can convince me this week that there are tactical reasons why you think
they're
going to lose.
There's no way I'm going to sit here and tell you that the Cowboys are better than the Patriots, because they're not. But the better team doesn't always win.
Well, just one second, Fred. Before we take it, Gary, shut up.
That's Dan.
Dan,
no, Gary's
Weber.
Over there too. Oh, hey, G Money.
Okay, food is for you three tonight.
Gary's got food.
I don't want any, Gary.
Where's that from?
What's that?
Mashed potatoes?
You really were at an event,
yeah. Fred. This is all I'll say. Last night, everybody picked the Cowboys except that idiotic freaking moron Chris Berman picked the Bills just because he's a Bills fan.
Right.
And I said to Alice, and I said, see. That's why I didn't pick the Cowboys this week, because I always said if I became a journalist, I'd try to at least be fair and not and be objective. I don't think the Cowboys are going to win. That's why I picked the Patriots.
Yeah,
you don't think the Cowboys
Tom,
are going to win.
Tom, in that line of thinking, no one should ever pick an upset.
That's not true.
Come on.
If I thought the I picked Miami to beat Dallas, remember, in week two, because I thought that they would go down there and Miami's defense would give them trouble.
And we didn't give you trouble about that.
No, because I had reasonings to pick the game.
Because we believed
him. I didn't
say
I got a feeling.
We don't believe you.
All right, well.
I just want to point out, everything but Patriots.com's Paul Perillo and Andy Hart think they're going 16-0, and Homer Kirsch over here is picking
I'm
the Cowboys.
So don't call me Homer Kirsch anymore.
See, that's exactly why you're doing it. You're
that's my
to
bristle
point.
At Homer
that's
Kirsch.
That's my point in a nutshell
all right
there.
All right.
You finally had enough of us calling
before
you
Before we
Homer.
Go to break, Phil in Austin says, girls, this is a radio show. Take it outside. Okay, Gary's replacement.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we got to go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers?
Check.
Jerseys?
Check.
Checks?
Check.
Check card?
Check.
That's everything! Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go Pats! Woo!
And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
This is Richard Seymour. If you're a big Patriots fan, show your team pride and win great prizes by ordering your Patriot Specialty License Plate. Team Rules says your car has to be registered in Massachusetts to be eligible. When you place your order, you have the chance to win Patriots tickets and memorabilia. Proceeds from the sales of the license plates go to the New England Patriots Charitable Foundation. Now that's worth driving for. To score your new set, apply online or in person at your local RMV or log on to Patriots.com for more details. Show your team spirit, give to a great cause, and get your Patriots license plate today.
Hey, this is Hall of Famer John Hanna. Let me tell you about the first ever Game with the Greats. Have you ever wondered what former football players talk about when we're watching the game? Well, now you can find out for yourself at the first ever Game with the Greats. On October 14th at Gillette Stadium, watch the Patriots take on the Cowboys in the Fidelity Investments Clubhouse, along with me, a bunch of my teammates, and other Patriot alumni. Guys like Andre Tippett, Steve Nelson, Steve Grogan, and Pete Brock will be there with you to enjoy the game and just hang out. Tickets are limited because they're only $25. Visit the Patriots.com homepage and click on Alumni for more information. We're all going to be at the Game with the Greats. Where will you be?
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Okay, we're back. Fred.
They really have been arguing through the break.
Yes,
nonstop.
Fred and Paul through the break. Do you guys want to do point counterpoint tonight? Because I don't want to do
what
it.
What is the point counterpoint?
It's supposed to be T.O. versus Moss.
But he forfeited.
It's the new, first,
the new Fred probably thinks Moss is better.
It's the first step.
No, you mean
I
T.O.
think Moss is better.
I mean, T.O. is better.
After last night's display,
yeah, that's
when they needed
so
him most,
he wasn't there.
He wasn't there.
That I can't forgive.
Yeah. So Dallas's best player isn't all that good, but you still think Dallas is going to win?
I think the Patriots, I think that their defense is going to give them trouble. Being on the road, I think, you know, obviously is a little bit of an advantage. And I just think the Patriots will make the mistakes that have been kind of brewing that will allow Dallas to win this game.
I think they clean
up. I think it's a one-off. I think it's going to be a great alarm clock for the Patriots to wake up. I think it's going to be a nice serving of humble pie. And I think from that point on, they're going to cruise. You know, I think they're going to win, be 14-2. I said that before the season. They got to lose two games then.
No, they don't. They can go 16.
No, they don't have to.
He thinks they're going to go 14-2, so that way they'd have to lose two games.
They have to lose two games. You're the guys that think 16-0, so obviously you think they're going to win them all.
That's true, I do.
So I just gave you a reason right there. I have to pick two games that they're going to lose.
Yeah, but you're not giving me a reason why it's going to be this
way. I just did. I mean, you know.
If I could have found a way to pick Dallas, I would have.
That's what we're saying. If anybody would have picked him, I don't think that Dallas. I don't think that Dallas has no chance to win.
Right.
So in that regard, you know, it's a good one to
According
pick.
According to Fred, all teams have a chance. Well,
I mean, it's a tough road game, I think, against a team that has some talent.
I would have never picked the Cardinals to beat Pittsburgh, but they did.
I know, but the biggest mismatch in this game to me is the Cowboys secondary against the Patriots receivers, and that benefits one man, and that man's Tom Brady.
But what happens?
And when you give him that kind of advantage.
Okay, what happens when their edge rushers get in on Brady?
If that happens, then you are right.
And the they Cowboys have the capability have to do that.
They do.
They do.
But that has to happen. It has
Absolutely.
To happen.
There's a lot of things that have to happen.
Plus,
for the
team that gave up 35 points good to the Giants.
I mean, this offensive line hasn't exactly been allowing people to get through. So they double-team Ware. I mean, they move him around a lot, but when he's with Light, they'll have Brady there. So you take him out. Now you need Ellis or Spencer on the other side to get in there. You know, it's going to be tough. Ware has to have a big game somehow. They're going to have to try to move him around out of that double-team.
Okay.
And when you get Roy Williams one-on-one with Benjamin Watson.
As Tom Casale would say, say goodnight.
Okay, this is Brian in Colorado. He said, Terrence McGee dropped two passes, one squarely in the chest, the other on his outstretched hands. Romo should have had seven interceptions. That is true. I think the Pats are going to have a problem with the Dallas running game, particularly Marion Barber III. If they can shut down the running game with a base D, then Dallas has no chance to win. Pats 27, Dallas 16. In 2 weeks, the Red
it's
Sox.
It's a pretty close game by this year's standards.
Yeah, by the Patriots' standards, yeah.
Yeah,
they're usually
that's what I'm
blowing
saying.
People out.
In 2 weeks, the Red Sox will have gone the way of Red Auerbach. The insects of the world are on the side of Cleveland. Wait till all the cockroaches in the backyard descend on Fenway Park. Don't mess with Mother Nature.
I don't really know what that means.
I don't have any idea what that means.
That's from the Bugs because they were attacking Cleveland.
Oh, was there a more overrated aspect of any game than the Bugs, by the way?
In terms of what?
Why is it hard to pitch while there are bugs flying around your head?
Oh, and not
but
hard
it's not
to
hard
hit
to hit
or field or do anything
that
else.
Was stupid.
And why was it hard only when the Yankees were pitching,
right,
but not hard when Carmona was on the mound blinding the Yankees?
Right.
I think it would be harder to hit a 100-mile-an-hour fastball from Jabba Chamberlain. He just couldn't get it over
and,
the plate.
And that's not a and that's not like this thing that people are making. I mean, this is like serious analysis that I'm hearing from, you know, the so-called baseball experts talking about, you know, there's a very good chance they go back to New York 1-1 if not for those bugs. I don't think the bugs had an impact on the game whatsoever. It was a weird thing that I've never really seen. And I don't think that, you know, from that perspective, I don't think it was overblown. But to say that he threw a wild pitch because there's bugs flying around him, are you kidding me?
Okay, RJ in Vegas. He says,
RJ,
why is Chris Hansen still on the roster? I know they don't have someone to replace him right now.
That's why.
So the question was rhetorical, but I just don't get it.
Thanks, Fred.
He had horrible direction and can't seem to break 30 yards. Terrible.
He stinks.
Get the leg a tryout. Also,
no.
Does Tom remember where Marion Barber went in the draft compared to Maroney? He went in the fourth round, Barber did. He was their first pick on day two. Because the dude's a beast, but I remember Maroney being the bigger name back. That's RJ in Vegas. Well, that's because Maroney was the big play guy in Minnesota, and he had. That's the one thing that I said here I'm a little disappointed in. In Minnesota, Barber was the pounder, and Maroney was the home run hitter. We haven't seen quite a lot of the home runs yet from Maroney that I was hoping we'd see at this point, but maybe they'll start coming. Maybe Morris will be like the Barber and soften you up.
Do we think Maroney plays this week?
Yes.
Yes.
I don't know.
Any reason why you're saying yes?
I think he's going to be healthy.
I think he'll be all right this week.
You have a feeling?
I got a feeling.
Okay.
I got a Fred Kirsch-like feeling.
Well, I'm just going to buy into the whole, so, well, if all these game-time decisions, sooner or later, one of these game-time decisions needs to be, he can play.
I got to tell you, too, I think that Barber was taken where he should have been because I think running like that, I wouldn't want to be invested in an early, you know, a first-round pick in a guy who runs like, I don't think he's going to have a long career. Now, maybe they're helping him a little bit with the stuff that drives Tom absolutely crazy and splitting him with Julius Jones. Because I think if he had 25 carries a game running the way he runs, we were looking at Earl Campbell and you know, obviously without the production, and he's going to be out of the league.
I just think, Paul, that we see too much of Julius
Jones. No, I know. I'm not arguing with you. I think he's so much better than Julius Jones.
But you're right. This guy looks to punch you. He's just looking for – you're right. He runs, he manages, he's not that big.
Even when he goes out of bounds, he manages to hit somebody on the way.
And he's
not unbelievable.
He's not 245. So I agree.
No, he's really not that big for
he's
the
like
style.
He's like 220.
Yeah.
So I agree. He won't have a long career, but hey, use him while you got him. That's what I say.
What did Tio say? Marion like, the Barbarian?
Yeah. I'm like Belichick. Once they're no use to you, get rid of him.
What did Parcells say about him? He runs like someone stole his lunch money. I like that.
That Parcells, man, is he funny.
Why are there fruit flies everywhere in here?
Gary.
Are you all right?
Strippers.
It's disgusting.
What do you think about the guards? I'm sorry. What do you think about Browns left guard Eric Steinbach saying Vrabel went after Joe Thomas's knee on the spike play? Was Vrabel being malicious? But wait, we did. And hang on, I want to get to this email from Dan Heffernan because he watched the play. I haven't read it yet. I watched the game on TiVo and reran the play several times because I wanted to see what happened and why. Vrabel definitely dove after the spike. My only guess as to why was the Anderson kind of turned his body sideways when he spiked it and really wasn't much of a forward movement. And Vrabel may have thought it was possible that the spike could be called a fumble. I don't think it was a fumble, but it wasn't very far from being backwards. I don't know if Vrabel is talking, but that would be my guess. Either that or he felt like delivering a dirty hit. So Dan is saying it was – he's making a reason why it happened, but he's saying it definitely happened from his viewpoint.
Cheap shot.
You think so?
If you dive at someone's legs,
way of doing it.
Yeah, if you dive at someone's legs on a spike play, I don't really see how you can defend that.
Was he diving for the ball, maybe? Or
well, that's what he's
saying. That's what Dan's
saying. That's the spike play is a spike. It's not a fumble.
Yeah, you just spike it. There's no diving.
I've seen plenty of spikes that were behind the
guy's
back.
Receivers don't run routes.
It's a spike.
It's just a spike. You just stand there.
Right.
You spike it.
So it was a dirty, cheap play.
I'm going to have to agree with Andy because I just don't think there's a lot.
I see it.
Yeah, I want to look at it too.
Oh, I do too. But I have a guy, a Patriots fan here, who I think
I'm just saying
would bend over backwards to say he didn't.
All I said was diving at a guy's
knee.
All I said was diving at a guy's leg on a spike play is cheap.
If that's what he did.
That's what I agree.
I didn't say what Vrabel did.
Right,
I
haven't either,
happened.
But don't you think our man Dan would bend over backwards like you
I would have normally put Fred in that category, but yet he picks Dallas.
That's true.
So it's like a whole upside, you know, it's the bizarro world
right.
again.
Cats sleeping with dogs.
Mass hysteria.
Dave wants you guys to shut up. And he says, I think I've told you before, I love the show. I even love the arguments.
This is my personal favorite part of the show when we get lectured.
It would be nice, however, if you could refrain from yelling at each other, Paul. It gets really loud on my PC speakers, and I have to turn it down
to
avoid waking
mad.
Up other people in the house. It's 1 a.m. here.
Oh.
Then you go back to talking about football, and I can't hear you. Or maybe the guy controlling the technology could adjust the levels on the volume to match your mind.
Right now there's no one back
there. I know that would require Gary or his replacement to stay awake and not play so much solitaire. Sorry, Gary, I hope you won't blow me up the next time I call. Okay, back to football. Hats off to Romo. At least there was an opposing coach who had enough sense to double Moss. Oh, to Romeo, I'm sorry. At least there was an opposing coach who had enough sense to double Moss. I was wondering when someone would do that. Not that it helped that much, but I can't see a better way to play against our offense. I like our chances against Dallas next week, but I do hope that either Maroney or Fault can play. I think our chances go down significantly if both of them are out at the same time.
Well, that's another one. Mm-hmm. Fault will probably be out, right?
Based on the way it unfolded, yeah.
I was so relieved to see Thomas back in there, though. Oh, my God. When I saw him limp off.
I'm starting to think he's the boy who cried wolf.
Yep.
Adalys Thomas?
He's always getting hurt, and they look serious, and then he's fine the next day.
I thought he was out for the year.
It's like right. Bobby Humphreys. Remember him?
Yeah, from Denver.
Well,
why, he
from
did that?
San Diego.
I thought
running
he was from
back?
Denver, too.
No, Bobby, the quarterback.
Stan Humphreys.
If you get the Stan Humphreys.
Get the right name, maybe we'll know who you're talking about.
Stan Humphreys. He was always getting hurt and limping off, and you thought he was dead, and then he'd come back next series.
I talked to Falk a little bit after the game now. He's not going to tell you. He said he was okay, you know, but I'm not expecting him to say.
Grade
Falk,
two MCL.
Yeah,
it's going to be a month.
2 to 4 weeks minimum, you know. I'm not expecting him to say that, but he kind of just, you know, shrugged it off and said, yeah, you know, I'm okay.
Right.
We'll see what happens. I'm sure he'll be on the injury list this
questionable.
Week.
Questionable.
Yeah, I think that's safe to say. That's probable that he'll be questionable. Clint in Omaha. Hey, guys, even before the Monday night game, I didn't give the Cowboys much of a shot. After watching that performance, I believe even greater, they have little to no shot. Final score, Pats 41, Cowboys 24. One other comment. Trey Wingo said Monday, the Colts are the best team in the NFL, and it's not close. What do you think of that view?
I think Trey Wingo's
an idiot.
Much like the Mike Vrabel diving at someone's legs, I'd need to hear the comment before I call Trey Wingo.
That's what he said.
Right.
Well, one guy who I can say is an idiot is Chris Mortensen, who has put the Colts ahead of the Patriots, and I just don't see it.
I don't mind someone saying they're one and the Patriots are two, but to say that they're no one's even close to the Colts is ridiculous.
Well, I can tell you this. I think the Patriots are clearly one, but I would say that if the Patriots were coming off a Super Bowl win and the Colts were listed as one
right.
now,
they'd be held to pay.
Yeah, it'd be up and on.
We've seen it already when the Patriots have come off Super Bowls and they didn't get the respect that they
deserve. Just from us looking at it as observers, some of us unbiased observers, I mean, you can see the reasoning. The Patriots are a balanced team, offense, defense.
Oh, I think
fans would rip
it's them. The front seven for the Patriots, to me, right. that makes the difference.
I mean,
I just think they're a more balanced team. They're balanced running and passing. They're balanced defensively.
Right. The whole thing.
You know, top to bottom, I just think they have a more balanced,
deeper roster.
Back to why I
think they're going 16-0.
The only thing I think that the Colts have is, and I'm not saying anything, you know, I love Brady. I'm wondering if Manning is going to go down as the best quarterback of all time.
Probably.
You know what I mean? Like, if they go to the Dome and Manning just has another great game and they beat the Patriots and they end up winning another Super Bowl, I think he starts carving his niche as the greatest quarterback who ever played. I know we talk about Brady a lot being it, but Manning might stake claim to that too, because I'll tell you, no Harrison, no Adai, he moved that team like the Swiss cheese.
But it's so funny.
It was amazing.
It's reversed roles in some ways right now, because we said, well, Brady now has the talent, so he's going to put up the big numbers.
Right.
Maybe that'll put him over the top as arguably the greatest ever. Now, Manning doesn't have the defense and a couple guys banged up. He keeps winning or whatever.
And
maybe he wins he wins another Super Bowl, and we say, well, now he's got the Super Bowls, and he used to have the numbers, and now he's the greatest ever.
Maybe someday we'll just say, hey, you know what, they're both pretty good.
Well, which I think we're just going to say, Those Patriots Colts teams, Brady, Manning, that was one of the great eras of football, and you guys were lucky to watch that.
Another one of my great commentaries of the past, Andy.
There's a shock. Paul patting himself on the back.
We don't enjoy it.
More about his commentaries from the past.
That was totally intentional, by the way.
I know.
But we don't enjoy it. You know, when Marino and Montana and Elway, those guys, they didn't play each other all that often. We're getting to see Brady against Manning almost every year, sometimes twice a year. This is, you know, you just can't take it for granted.
They should move the Colts to the NFC. That way it can be a Super Bowl every year.
Okay, that doesn't make any sense. Charles, near Baltimore. I think we're going to see more
teams.
I think we're going to see more teams
a witness protection.
Pay more attention to number 81 like the Browns did.
You think?
Do you guys notice any changes in his behavior because he's not getting the ball? It's hard to tell from network broadcasts. We saw him blocking once and once joking on the sidelines. He seemed fine to me.
Well, he doesn't talk, so I have not noticed any changes in his behavior. Do you guys think, I would say that they clearly were physical with him at the line. What else
would happen?
What else did you think Cleveland did?
Well, they used a safety. They doubled him like a lot.
More than everybody else?
I don't think so. More successfully.
I think the bottom line is they executed. But, I mean, everybody keeps writing that they finally decided to double him. I don't think doubling him or lack of doubling has been a problem.
Well, the trouble is other teams tried to double him, but the timing wasn't there. So it ended up he had large spaces between corners and safeties.
And look, I don't know. I'll be the first guy to admit it. I don't know, you know, how any of this stuff works. But to me it would seem that if you're going to double him, that first guy should be getting a shot on him. What teams have been doing, especially Cincinnati and Buffalo. Buffalo does it all the time, but they, you know, it's almost like they're saying we're going to double him here, but we're going to give him a free release off the line because we're doubling him. We can give back, you know, sit back and make sure he doesn't get by us. He's going to eat that up. And Buffalo covered him with Greer on more than one occasion by himself. I thought that for the most part against Cleveland, I thought that the key was the bump that rookie gave him. Was it Wright?
Right.
Yeah.
24?
Right.
I thought the bumps that he was giving Moss seemed to bother him, and I don't think it was as much the double teams as it was the physical play. And the one time that you saw Cincinnati tried to hit him on the last touchdown, the guy missed. You can't miss.
It's all about execution,
don't do that,
son.
What'd you do? I tried to hit him. Well, don't do that. You know, you can't miss.
We actually have a Colts fan writing in, Mike from Tampa. Now, here's something that we didn't talk about last night's game, and I hate to do this because I love aggressive football, but with a Trent Edwards interception from Terrence Newman, I was shocked that they threw the ball there because a field goal puts you up by 11, and you have I was actually surprised. I mean, I like going for the throw, so I'm not going to be too hard on it, but he's a Colts fan in Tampa, and he says, watching the game last night made me wonder if Belichick and Dungy are normal and the rest of the NFL coaches are incompetent. The coaching decisions I watched last night by both teams were dumb. For example, the Bills have the ball on the 12-yard line with 6 minutes left. Common sense says you run the ball, kick the field goal, and go up 11 points. With the way the front four was playing and Romo struggling, the odds of the Cowboys scoring a touchdown, a two-point conversion, and kicking a field goal were small. Instead, they throw the ball away, and the rest is history. P.S. And Mike, why do you got to go here? What's the over-under on Emmitt Smith getting fired? He talked about how deep the Pats are at running back, then forgot their names. I'm African-American, but this is clearly a case of affirmative action gone bad.
Mike, I agree with you on both counts, by
He's
the
done.
Way.
Because the ESPN also, spokesman or woman gave him the old support, and that's like 1 week before you get out.
But I also think, you know, that coaching decision, and I agree with Tom. I like the aggressive play calls, but I thought that wasn't aggressive. I thought that was dumb.
Yeah,
the field goal there is as good as a touchdown. You don't get any more out of a touchdown than you do out of a field goal that situation. Nothing.
And plus,
does Gridiron Mine agree with you on that?
Plus,
the pass
was a dangerous one. It was it wasn't like a ball that went into the end zone. It was a short out on the, you know.
They'd have been better off firing a crossing route over the middle in the end zone. That gets picked off, and it's a touchback. You go from there.
But, the Emmitt Smith, my favorite athlete of all time, man, it pains me. I mean,
but it's not related. I wouldn't want to see Bo Jackson on the pregame show. I can't speak.
I'm not defending. I'm saying it pains me to watch him because it's like he has like a good thought. It's like Paul says, you see him and he's kind of making a good point, and
like
then
Fred.
He just starts.
It'd be so much easier if it was Michael Irvin and he not only couldn't speak, but he had nothing to say. He seems like he has something to say and just can't get it out.
Yeah, it's tough to watch.
Yeah, he called him Sammy Morrison and.
as I said, you're in trouble when USA Today is starting to, quote, take pieces of it and write it in the paper.
You okay, Fred? What's the matter over there?
Word is that he's a jerk in real life anyway.
Emmett?
So
Emmett? Really? Yeah.
That's the word.
Well, he blew off Brian Morey in Arizona, so he got thumbs up.
He got bonus points, yeah.
Well, now I like him. Today on ESPN, Sean King said the Cowboys will upset the Pats because the Cowboys will exploit the Patriots' weaknesses on pass defense. What weakness do the Patriots have on their pass defense? Strippers wants to know.
They've had people open.
I would say coverage.
I think we all agree that if they get beat, that's going to be it. Yep. And if Fred had articulated that, maybe we would have bought into his little thing.
If the quarterback has had time so far in the early going, there's generally been open receivers.
Right.
And I think you saw Braylon Edwards really exploit Ellis Hobbs the other day. With 6 for 110, most of those came against Hobbs. I don't think it's a glaring weakness. I don't think it's anywhere near as bad as the Cowboys secondary and their coverage problems. But I do think that when the opponent has had time, the Patriots struggled a little bit.
But they also they haven't been giving up a lot of runaway guys.
Oh, they never do.
Which, again, plays into their bend but don't break, because if they make you complete 5, 12-yard, 15-yard, sooner or later, somebody's making a play. They have enough playmakers on that defense. They get to the quarterback, or Asante Samuel makes a play, or one of those guys makes a play. So that's the tough part. You got to put a drive together, be taking advantage of those and chipping away, stay balanced, do all those things we talked about. I just haven't seen the team yet that I think really can do that with enough consistency to beat them.
Okay, Alex, he says, a question to Tom. How's that for a revenge game? When will the media start talking about a team of destiny for the Cowboys? That was my revenge game, remember, because I went to Buffalo. And
I was
pretty happy last night. I was going nuts. It wasn't like the days when I went to Philly in the year they won the Super Bowl. The Cowboys got killed early in the season, and they beat the Eagles later on. And I actually went to the public library and photocopied some of the pages of the Philadelphia phone book and called up people and asked them if they were Eagles fans and started swearing at them. That's back when I was really nuts. But
when are a loser.
Good job on that background check, Fred.
The team of destiny, it's what Andy keeps saying. It's hard for me to get excited because when they were good in the 90s, I always knew you could trust Jimmy Johnson. Like Patriots fans, you know you can trust Bill Belichick. You know he's going to make the right moves.
You go into every game knowing you have an edge in coaching.
You know he's going to make the right decisions for the team. I'm watching some country bumpkin run around with his arms in the air.
They make it to the Super Bowl. I'd be worried what he's going to do with 2 weeks leading up to a Super Bowl.
Imagine
too much time on his hands.
Imagine what he would do, Fred, at that first press conference when they bring out the trophy. Remember Mike Martz was like, he needed a couple of moments. Alone,
you have to wash it off when he's done.
Change his pants.
Jesus, you always got to take it just a little bit further.
Someone's calling, but Gary's not here. Shannon,
nor is his replacement.
Hey guys, I opened up the sports section of the paper today.
Are we on the air?
To view the updated standings of the AFC East, and to my surprise, there was a Y next to New England in connection to clinching the division. Come on, already putting a Y there, maybe an asterisk.
Who put that there?
I don't know. He doesn't say. What paper was this, Shannon? What a joke. A 4-game lead after 5 games to the Bills, Jets, and Dolphins. That must be a big disgrace. They got mud in their face, but I don't care because I'm waving my Pats banner all over the place. Peace out, Peckerwoods.
I know that the Daily News is putting an asterisk next to the Patriots and the cheated underneath.
Yeah.
Maybe it's them. Maybe they're playing. Right?
Are they still doing that?
Fred, can I say Peckerwood?
Not really. But
really?
He did. I don't know.
But you did.
I am lost on this. You can say bitch slap and you can't say Peckerwood.
Peckerwood only has one meaning, really.
A woodpecker.
Well, no.
Yeah, I must not know the meaning because I just thought it was kind of like a derogatory phrase to call your friends, like you're stupid.
What if you can find like a rare tree that's called the Peckerwood tree?
Well, what would it have to do with calling somebody?
Well, Shannon, from now on, call us bitches.
Later, bitches.
We can say that on the air.
Peace out, bitches.
Okay, strippers. What do we got here? Patriots Nation had a heart attack, as I'm sure you guys did, when Adalis was helped off the field. The Pats halftime report, Gary Tangway suspected high ankle sprain. Well, AD came back and played in the second half. Any lingering effects going forward?
I didn't know that until now, but that's just ridiculous. Why would he say that? High ankle sprain. Where do you get that from?
Maybe he had a source.
That's the kind of ankle sprain that, you're out for a couple months at least. Where do you get that from?
Are we sure about that? Where did you get that from?
No, guys that have like Troy Brown who have had high ankle sprains, it takes a long time.
Well, I know that
it's back from.
Yeah, it's a bad thing. Yeah.
That's why you always write the dreaded high ankle sprain.
That's like when I used to sit next to Brian Morey and a guy would go off and he just snapped his vertebrae.
Yeah, I used to have a lot of fun in the press box. Brian would immediately say someone has a torn ACL and Fred would be clapping.
No, I wouldn't.
But I do think it's going to hurt. I thought he looked like he was running gingerly in the second half. I thought it limited him a little bit then. So, that's on adrenaline. When you take the tape off, you never know what they get.
Strippers is clarifying assumed high ankle sprain.
Assumed? By who?
Gary Tanguay.
That's even worse.
But who is he getting? No, Fred's point is who is he hearing that from? You can't watch a guy.
Andy Gresh?
I mean, it's one thing if you see how they're working on a guy, Fred. Andy, when was it Falk that they were doing the ACL test
and
the MCL test?
I went grade two MCL.
But you can sit there and you can say, okay, they're working on his knee,
right?
And they're doing the test, and he's probably at the least he's got a sprain, a sprain there. At least that's an educated guess. Who's telling you that he has a high ankle sprain?
Because I saw Thomas on the sideline. He had his socks off, and I said, oh, looks like his ankle. He said, well, I think it's knee. We didn't know.
Right.
He said it looked like
to
him.
That's a good point.
Right.
Because I thought it was a knee.
That's and what you Gary Tanguay said?
Gary Tanguay said it looked like it to him.
A high ankle sprain.
How does he know what a high ankle sprain looks like?
That's exactly my point.
Stop emailing it. You're making it worse.
That's exactly my point. How do you look at someone get hurt and say, that looked like a high? You could say, well, geez, he might have turned his ankle there. But how do you know it's a high ankle sprain?
I'm not even sure trainers and doctors watching on TV or whatever would say, that looks like a high ankle sprain from 400 feet away.
That's why they had the second best pregame show.
And you wonder why Belichick gets so upset about
the ratings,
Andy.
Keep it down. We're trying to get on that show. Hey, Gary, keep up the good work, baby.
Oh, yeah, you're doing a fine job.
What show? Oh, the TV
FSN,
show.
FSN, yeah. I don't want to be,
That's the award-winning Mohegan Sun Sports
Tonight.
Right.
Especially since ESPN Radio is about out of
business. I got a problem with Matt from Quincy. He says, a few thoughts on last night's game. Can everybody stop whining about teams calling timeout just before the field goal? This has been going on for years. The only reason it's more pronounced now is that coaches can call a timeout from the sidelines.
Right.
It's gamesmanship. Matt, it's stupid.
That's the difference.
That's the difference. It hasn't been going on for years. They used to call a timeout to ice the kicker.
Right.
Now they're doing it just
to make him kick twice.
And to ice him, it was always a guy out on the field calling timeout because the coach couldn't do it.
He said, how come the players called it on the field just before a kick and it was never a big issue? Because it wasn't the same thing. They called it way before that.
Right.
It's part of the strategy of the game, and I like it. Well, I guarantee you, Matt, it will not be part of the strategy next year. I guarantee you they take that crap out.
And Matt won't like it when Gostkowski hits the first and misses the second, and they're out of the playoffs.
As Paul pointed out upstairs, a very good point, you're making a guy kick a 53-yard field goal twice.
Right.
It's hard enough. It takes some effort to kick a 53-yard field goal.
And
that's his skill. That's like saying Tom Brady completes a 45-yard bomb to Randy Moss,
and they bring it back and
say, you could actually do that again.
And you know what also it's like? It's like when baseball, you can call timeout if you're in the batter's box, but at some point the umpire can say no.
Right.
You don't get
it. Right.
It's
in
too
every
close.
Other, every
Unless
other sport,
it's against Paul Bird.
Right. Every other sport.
He got hosed, and he was pissed.
You can do that, and you can do, you can ice a guy shooting a free throw in basketball, but once he has the ball in his hands, you can't do it.
Right.
And that's the difference. It's not gamesmanship. It's actually getting a competitive advantage because you're making the guy follow through with his act twice, and you shouldn't be allowed to do that.
And as we said, this gamesmanship crap, just go play
freaking football. There's nothing wrong with icing the kicker. There's
nothing wrong with
calling timeout before the snap to make him have to think about it.
Now these coaches,
you should be able to use.
Now these coaches found another thing in the rules that they can kind of tweak a little bit to screw up the game, and so now every time we saw it in the Auburn Florida game. Now they're doing it in college. I mean, you're making a college kid kick it twice. To me, that's just not fair, and it's stupid, and it takes away from the game. But Folk nailed it anyway, so good job, Dick Geron. You lost. Go home.
He was actually at home.
I mean, go home.
Tom's back.
Also, did you notice when T.O. dropped the pass in the end zone on the two-point conversion?
Yes.
God, he dropped a lot of balls. Wade Phillips was trying to get a penalty called for face guarding. Apparently, he's not aware that the face guarding is not a penalty. Shouldn't a coach know this kind of thing?
Yes.
Man. Now you're back on my good side. I said the same thing. I shook my head and said, I cannot believe it. The head coach of the Dallas Cowboys doesn't know the rules. That just goes to show you, though. That's a pretty... That's not one of those Leon Lett rules, from where maybe it kind of slipped by you. That's a pretty common rule, you know, that you can do that in the NFL, being, you know, a defensive coordinator.
Year. Right. They didn't change it this year. So it's not a new thing.
Plus,
maybe
wasn't it talked about in the AFC Championship, the game after that he had just lost and he was probably watching?
Yes.
You're a bad guy.
No, that's
you're assuming he was watching it, though. He was probably on vacation.
He might have
probably hunting.
Yeah.
Okay. Fye says, finally, I'm starting to feel bad for the Bills, who appear to be the most cursed team in all of pro sports. Bad stuff always happens to them. The only time they ever came out on the good end of a miracle was a comeback against the Oilers in the playoffs, and that was only because Daryl Talley tackled a wide-open Oiler receiver and didn't get called for the most obvious pass interference in the history of the NFL. All that did was send them off once again to get destroyed in the Super Bowl. They have become the Cubs of the NFL, and they have to live in the heart of darkness that is Buffalo, New York.
That's true.
Matt from Quincy.
Does Jim Kelly have a home, or does he just live on the sideline? Every game, he's down there.
All right, now, I don't know if I can say this, but Steve from Cranston said, just some FYI, there is a Peckerwood Garden. Here is the link.
I love our callers.
We have the
I
best.
Love our callers.
We have the best listeners.
Peckerwood Garden?
Our listeners.
Yeah, Peckerwood Garden from Steve from Cranston, Rhode Island.
There you go.
Thanks, Steve. Now we're okay.
No matter what the topic, they've got an answer for us.
Even Peckerwoods.
Okay, this is Rachel. So we have a female.
Okay. Clean it up a little time.
How are you doing?
Hi, guys. I'm still trying
my
to
Peckerwood gardens.
still trying to catch up with the podcast from last week. Anyway, I heard that someone described the Philippines as an adult Disneyland. Well, I must admit that the industry such as that do exist here. Let me just correct the notion and state for the record that not all Filipinos are cheap. You asked before in my previous emails what it is I do here. Well, I'm a marketing and events officer for an international sports channel, and yes, I'm not cheap. Who said they were cheap?
I don't know.
All I know is my friend.
No, we said
stuff
it was
cheap.
Cheap
to do
was
that.
There, because it didn't cost us much. That's what we were saying.
My friend.
How many women?
Three girls, 12 hours, $40.
Yeah, my friend lives there and in a gated community, but he says 2-3 at a time.
Did you ever live there, Fred?
No.
Have you ever visited
she
him?
Says, Rachel says, well, come on, have a vacation here. Dave and I will direct you to the best beaches. Although, knowing you guys, I'm guessing you still prefer the adult industry. Am I right? Well, how good-looking are you?
Right. If you want to take us to the beach for free.
And you're good-looking.
Right.
Let's not just throw that out there, Andy, without the... all right. What do we got here? The Gherkin Man.
No producer.
Mike, I looked in there and I saw John Rook. I know he doesn't know what he's doing.
Well, he does have his own home studio. Gary, John, you know those buttons in there? Because we do not have a producer.
Look, now he looks like he knows what he's doing.
Now Gary, he's touching stuff.
Uh-oh.
Gary actually, left
he looks
a
like
note.
Lori when
There's
we do a
smoke
podcast.
Coming out of
so
the
what
board.
I want to know is why is he back from the so-called, you know, event, but yet Gary and Dan
Well,
are...
Gary left me a note. No breaks until Dan or I am back. So, Mike Gherkin says, hi, guys. I was not able to watch the Bills versus Cowboys game last night, but did notice that the score was a lot closer than many thought it would be. Did the Bills do anything in that game that would show a weakness in the Dallas team? Also, I know that the Patriots won by 17, but the play in the second half seemed mediocre at best. Was this because that the Browns were doing defensively, or were the Patriots just playing sloppy? One thing the Bills did that the Patriots do at times is they stood up all their defensive linemen.
Yeah,
did you see that?
That?
You guys
yeah.
see that?
Yeah.
And it was, according to somebody on ESPN, I forgot who it was, they said that that was causing Romo a lot of trouble because he wasn't sure where the rush was coming from. So you know Bill's going to see that, so it'll be interesting to see if...
He did that at the Bills.
He actually did no linemen at a time at the Bills. They were all over the place.
I actually did laugh, though. Jaworski kept pointing it out, and a couple times when
yeah,
he was pointing it out.
Yeah, there was two guys down.
I see two guys. I'm like, that's a regular sub-defense, two down linemen.
And he kept circling the guy, going, he's the only guy down.
It's like
the guy right next to him was
down
too.
He said, I'm going with this point, and I'm sticking with it.
It shows you, even the guys that know what they're talking about can just
well,
throw
just He probably
it,
didn't want to start backpedaling.
Right.
And what did they call it? They called it the...
I forgot what they called it. It was a cool name.
Yeah, it was a cool name. Kind of reminded me of
anybody.
Swoosh.
Anybody out there who remembers what the Bills' defense was last night? Email in, Rob.
You
he's
Peckerwood.
He says, Rob says, hey, guys, how's it going?
It's a garden, John Rook. Don't give me that I work in real radio look that I might be breaking rules.
This guy's got something to say to you, Andy. Uh-oh. He says, Andy, you nearly jinxed us in that Cleveland game when you said maybe this is the Patriots year where we don't get too many big injuries. I think Patriots Nation held their collective breath when Adalis Thomas went down in Sunday's game, but thankfully he's okay.
He's gone down every game. Is anybody watching?
My question is this. Has the quality of games in the NFL significantly dropped this year?
Yes, there's no good teams.
What is with about 28 of the 32 teams this year that just generally suck? Can this be related to the poor quality of numerous coaches, or is there a drop in talent coming out of the draft?
I think it's both, yeah.
I think the two biggest things are the coaches that he mentioned and quarterbacks. I just don't think there are a lot of very good quarterbacks.
Those are the two
things. I think
it's talent in general.
I think
there's a lot.
As far
we
as
talked
the
about receiver,
goes, was,
can't catch. We talk, you know, we joke with Felger. Oh, yeah, the creep defense. Joke with Felger. Who's a cornerback who's going to cover? You know, you look at a lot of positions, there's not a lot of great players at those positions.
Yeah, and
there's a lack of talent and
but
a lack
I
of coaching.
Think Paul's right. Quarterback is weak. You just keep these retreads like Wade Phillips, and like we keep saying, everything's rosy in Dallas. I can't wait till they lose 2-3 games. Let's see what a great coach he really is. And thank you, David, who said the creep is the name of the Bills defense.
The creep.
It's unbelievable. It's like Ask Jeeves. You get the question, the answer immediately.
Yeah.
Except when you ask for lunch.
It's true.
They haven't sent it in yet.
Yeah, hey, David, can you send us in some lunch? Who else is up here? What if I read Ross Hawker?
What if you do? I don't know.
Will he send us lunch?
Oh.
We're going to start making people send lunch to have their email.
He says, no, this guy doesn't. This guy's, I might as well read this because the subject is F.U. Felger. he says, I have a comment for Felger. I'm begging you, man. Pick a new team to cover. There has to be another team that needs someone that does whatever it is that you do. And in the meantime, think of something new to say besides Bill Walsh.
Ball wash.
Oh, ball wash. I'm sorry.
Bill Walsh.
Evidently, you already read that one?
Yeah.
Well, the thing was in my way. Ball wash. You say it every time you open your mouth and that fingernails on a chalkboard voice comes out. Seriously, nobody wants to know what you do with Mike Reith in your spare time.
Reith?
It says Reith.
I know.
R-E- With Reith. Mike Reese in your
do we have a lift?
Mike Reese in your spare time. What are they doing in their spare time?
I don't know. I didn't know they hung out together.
I don't think they're all that close.
In all seriousness, though, that's not a mental picture that I ever need in my head. I don't know what that's
I
about.
Know what that email
when are these
about?
People all going to band together and tell somebody who matters that they hate Felger so they get him off of the 800 gigs he has so that some others
no,
of us
because
would...
that would be good because then the radio station knows there's people listening.
Right. Okay, around the board, Strippers wants to know, bigger upset, Appalachian State over Michigan, Stanford over USC. Andy?
Appalachian State over Michigan.
Fred?
I would say that too.
Paul?
Absolutely.
Yeah, me too.
Biggest of all time.
One double A team. I mean, Stanford is still
Stanford
Division
is
One.
A
Trent
team.
Edwards went there just, you know, recently. So, decent.
And they're smart.
They went 1-11 last year.
Yeah, but
they
smart.
Suck.
Aren't they in the Pac-10?
Yeah.
And they have high educational
standards.
But
don't say that they're decent. They stink.
They can't recruit like, you know, USC and UCLA can.
Rutgers been dropping like a stone.
Yeah.
Fred Kirsch right again.
All right. I'm out of emails. What's going on?
I'd tell you to take a break.
We got 15 minutes left.
Shannon says, what's up, bitches? And then he gives us the thing for Peckerwood's Garden and PeckerwoodKnob.com.
Wow. Did you guys talk about Willie McGinnis at all?
No.
Pissing off the Steelers?
Yeah, pissing off the Steelers.
I mean, you know, he leaves the Patriots for a couple years and he forgets all the rules. You never do that to a team that you're going to have to play, right?
Well, maybe he can just do what he wants now.
I know, but that's not a good thing.
I also think,
again, goes back to my point, if you leave these guys to their own devices, they will do the wrong thing again and again and again.
I also think that... you know, he left Bill Belichick and suddenly turned back into the guy who didn't make any plays.
Right, he can barely get down into a three-point stance. You notice that?
I didn't even know he was on the field, to be honest with you.
The only time I remember seeing him is when he flailed in vain to try to get Dante Stallworth on a touchdown.
Yeah, right.
But, yeah, Willie said that the Patriots, the most explosive weapons in the NFL, more than the Colts, more than the Steelers. Someone asked
Deion Branch will miss the next couple of games. He brought with a foot injury. By
all right, stop having fun with expensive expatriates.
But by the way, he gets mad at me when I suggest that he gets happy on injuries. The
other
he can't even contain his
laughing
laughter.
Like a little kid over there.
The other issue
because I just know Paul's mad
that we all missed because we watched the game live. Did you see? Apparently, Dan Dierdorf was accused of burping during the telecast.
It wasn't him though.
Yeah, but did you see how he refuted it?
Yeah.
If it was me, it would have been much louder. That's right. An embarrassment to offensive linemen everywhere.
Right, that was good. That's a good comeback.
Like
that. That's a good comeback.
Yeah, Florio called him on it, and then he emailed Florio with that. Florio was like, I kind of like that.
Okay, strippers, give Rodney a grade, A through F. Andy?
For the,
in that game?
The
yeah.
one game back?
Give him a C. Yeah.
Paul?
B minus.
I like that. That was a shock.
I like
surprised you didn't get the Harvard A from Paul.
Would have been an A if he didn't have that face mask penalty. What did he do wrong besides that?
I'll give him a D.
I thought he did a good job on Kellen Winslow.
A D, Tom.
I'm a tough grader. I don't know what to
say. He had a bad face mask penalty. He loses points for that.
Okay, Jimmy in Orlando. Hey, bitches. Great show as usual. As usual, I'm late to the party. My question
you.
To you is, how good do you think the Plowboys are now after almost being embarrassed by the Bills? Do you think the Bills have enough tape from the game to put together a plan to destroy them Peckerwoods? I'm sorry, Fred. I didn't see it coming. That Bill has enough tape. I'm sorry, not the Bills. Bill has enough tape.
Bill Walsh.
Well, he certainly Walsh. Knows all about Wade Wilson. That's,
Wade Phillips?
Wade Phillips.
Wade Wilson. The show has just...
You know, it's Wade Wilson, too. Wade Wilson just came off his suspension.
Let me ask you guys this question now.
Speaking of Peckerwood.
Since you've been around the Patriots longer than I have... Jason Garrett is a first-year coordinator. Does that present any different challenges for Bill? Because he's so good when he knows a coach. How does that going to
– Yeah, because they don't have any video
have
on him.
It. But the plays are being called down from the owner's box anyway, so.
No, but that is serious. With a coordinator and a quarterback he doesn't know.
Yeah.
Bill
yeah.
has had
tendencies.
Issues with new
yeah. –
Yes, he hasn't had the time to break down everything they've ever done
right.
and figure out – You know, it's a little bit more fly by the seat of your pants, adjust in the first quarter.
Sure.
But all that said, I still – feel the same way. I think the Cowboys have some talent, but haven't put it together with any consistency and coaching. The Patriots have the talent, the consistency, and the coaching.
The Patriots are the better team going
yes.
into this game.
No question.
Now, usually
we're all
Fred,
in agreement except for
usually Fred.
Fred
would take them when they're the better team. Now, if they're getting 7 points at Cincinnati and Fred doesn't think they have a chance to win, he usually picks against them, but not when they're a 5-point favorite on the road until this week. Fred?
I have a feeling.
John, Fred's picking against the Patriots. This week.
28-21.
Where is John? Is he still here?
He's right behind me.
In the corner.
He's behind Paul.
Lime is sweet. Out
could
for
be
the
20
season.
People behind him. You never see him.
Oh, jeez.
Why? What do I do to you?
No, because we don't have a producer. Unless you want to run behind the glass and turn something on.
Well, and actually, the show is almost over. Is
You might actually have to send us to a close.
So,
are you serious? We can't get a producer for the whole show.
John's going back there to look to pot up. I think that's what they call
so
it.
So what are we doing in Dallas? Going out to Dallas, we're getting big mugs of beer and barbecue.
Well,
and
the last time I was in Dallas, before
you
I
almost got arrested,
home,
I know.
Before I got driven home in a Dallas police car, we went to a really good barbecue place, and I just forget the name.
Now, is
it
a really good barbecue place with a lot of TVs?
No.
Oh,
I don't remember that. It was in a place like a Faneuil Hall type setting. I remember that.
Yes, we heard that.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. This is
I'm figuring it out.
Good. Appalachian State is a 2-time 1AA defending champion. They are no pushover. Stanford, on the other hand, had a 2-15 record coming in.
Yeah, but
so
they're
Stanford,
still 1AA.
I was a good high school football player. Doesn't mean I can
it's
play in
different.
The NFL.
I think the Appalachian State win at Michigan is the biggest college football upset of the modern era.
Yes, yeah. I agree. And
the modern era.
Well, I don't know what happened. Like. Sometime that Army lost to
so
someone.
So that era when Bill
whatever,
Parcells was the best coach.
I remember Northeastern exactly. beat BU. That was a huge upset.
No, that's commonplace.
Jason, who's in Dallas, says, I'm a Pats fan and masshole living in Dallas, wondering when I should start wearing my Brewski jersey. I was thinking Thursday. I'm thinking you should throw it away.
I would think you should get a new jersey.
Yeah.
A Dallas Thomas is a good one.
Brewski had a really good game.
Yeah, he went untouched twice and sacked a quarterback.
No,
the local radio had the boys ripping the Pats apart. Yesterday.
I know. When I look at the photos... When a guy appears in a lot of the frames, I know he had a pretty decent game.
Oh, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
I didn't know you were breaking down the film,
right,
Fred,
there, that's one of my philosophical oppositions to how and where we use our photos.
Shouldn't he have had a good game when you, watched the game live?
No, but he...
Not the stills that don't tell a story later?
The photos backed up
Fred,
what I thought.
Watch what you're saying, because he is going to get a
CSI Foxborough. He's going to get abused.
Well, he might, but I'm saying I think he had his best game of the year last week.
Well, that's that was hard to do.
2 years.
I also think he had his best game of the year.
Yes, right. Bill would say. I don't think it would take much.
It would take much.
All right.
Is that Jeff you said in Texas? Maybe we can get some.
Jason.
Jason.
Oh, wait, we got something here.
Should we ask him for some suggestions?
Well, he just came in with something.
Oh, it's him, the best host in the business for nothing.
Well, ball washer.
Sonny Bryant's Barbecue in the West End, Dallas.
That might be
Send me a new jersey.
It might be Sonny Bryant's.
Any TVs there?
They got TVs.
Buy your own jersey.
Can't hold a lit candle to the barbecue in Fort Worth. Thank you very much.
But we're not going to be in Fort Worth.
Dallas, right?
Well, you should go to Fort
Texas
Worth.
Texas is a big state.
Right, it's so we can't just go to Fort Worth. That's probably like an hour cab ride.
Oh, God, like it would kill you.
It does.
I don't know how much money you make, Hotshot, but I don't make that kind of dough.
Rent a car.
Again, Fred, I don't know how much money you make, Hotshot.
It's cheaper than taking a cab.
Fred, get the PT Cruiser again.
This is pretty funny. Shannon says, I've never had three emails read on the same show. Thanks. First of all, I'd like to thank Jesus Christ. Him, I am nothing. I'd like to thank everyone at BFW and my fans, even Sawyer.
That's good.
Peace out. Insert slur here.
I think Sonny Bryant's might have been the place we went to because the West End, I remember we were in the West End.
That's where we need to go?
Yeah, that's good.
Where it's at.
It's good.
Yeah,
it's fine. Isn't there also
Tex-Mex? They got chicken there?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Tons of it.
Tex-Mex?
What's the difference? What is
Tex-Mex? Tex-Mex, it's more like the traditional enchilada, taco, rice and beans.
I don't need
thing.
That. More like what Andy won't be eating if he wants to be at the game the next
day. I don't need any of that. I just need
good stuff.
I'm going to be drinking big mugs of beer.
Yeah, we got to be by a TV.
Which they got Miller Lite there? Water.
So Tom's going to be drunk in 30 seconds.
I've got a little Lone Star.
Come on, Andy, they got any Miller Lite there?
I'm sure they do.
Miller Lite, that's the official beer of the Dallas Cowboys.
Nice.
Are you nuts?
I'm also
be all over the place.
Fred, you're taking the Cowboys in this thing?
It's going to be a long
and you yell at me, Fred.
Why?
Tom's on
after,
edge.
After last night?
No, I made the pick
wait
before
a second,
last
wait a second.
Night.
I believe he's thrown another interception. I just checked.
Yeah. Right.
He's thrown
did
another
you know
pick.
That, Gary, did you know that Fred picked Dallas this week?
I can't believe I missed the show.
Pete picked the Rams.
I picked it before last night's game, but I'm going to stick with it.
Okay. He doesn't have a good reason, so don't ask.
He's got a feeling.
I have a feeling, too.
He's got a feeling.
I'm more of a gentleman here to let, you know.
I think 2 weeks ago we heard after the Cincinnati game that they had, a so-so week in practice, and Bill had to get them together on Friday and really read them the riot act. Last week we saw, a deterioration of play against a really inferior opponent. I think it's coming on.
So you don't feel that they're eating the humble pie. You kind of feel like they're kind of coasting a little bit.
Exactly.
Lip service.
I don't think that we see the sense of urgency. I think that was reflected in the red zone stands. I think there's a little bit of wake-up call that they need at this point in the season.
Well, maybe the wake-up call is a road game against a 5-0 team.
Could be.
And they blow them out of the water.
After last night's game, it's kind of hard to look at that and say, this team's going to give us trouble. But
Buffalo scored 24 points in that defense.
I know.
That's all I need to know.
They actually scored three.
That's
right.
True. Because, yeah.
No, I think the Dallas defense actually did a hell of a job last night, put in a really tough position.
All right. Well, it'll be
I don't know what's going on around here.
Up is down. Down is up.
Cats and dogs.
Dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
I really don't know what to think anymore.
Coming up next is John Rook with more Homer babble. So we'll be back tomorrow on PFW in Progress. Tomorrow.